Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. Barack Obama leads the polls going into tomorrow's South Carolina Democratic primary. Says he's even got support among Republicans there.
I knew because in these crowds, I'd shake their hands. They'd whisper to me. They'd say, Barack, I'm a Republican, but I support you. And I'd say, thank you. Why are we whispering?
Hillary Clinton not giving up the fight.
We're going to keep on going. I feel sorry for everybody who's traveling with me. I can't promise much sleep. I can't promise you that you won't be exhausted by the end of it, but I'm excited.
Native son John Edwards, he says the polls say he's destined for another third-place finish. He's still pitching his own economic stimulus package.
What I do is create a national home rescue fund so that we get transitional help to people who are in danger of losing their homes, and that we restructure and refinance some of these loans.
Supporters of Dennis Kucinich saying so long, the candidate officially ending his presidential bid to focus on keeping his congressional seat. As for the $150 billion administration-approved economic stimulus package...
Despite pressure from the White House not to change a word, Senate Democratic leader Harry Reid says he'd like to see additions to the stimulus package for unemployment insurance benefits and food stamps. But standing right next to him today, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said to get substantial checks for the working poor is a lot better than the temporary 10% increase in food stamps.
Do you know what that translates for a person on food stamps? 10 cents a day. 10 cents a day.
The House will likely vote on the stimulus package as is the week after next. Then it will be taken up in the Senate. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
In Las Vegas today, it was time to fold them, time to run. Flames and thick black smoke rising from the Monte Carlo Hotel on the Las Vegas Strip.
It did start at the top level of the hotel. Much of what you see at the top level is actually facade. That's not building.
Hotel spokesman Gordon Absher, 3,000-room hotel safely evacuated. 5 people are hospitalized, breathing troubles. The cause thought to be a rooftop welding project gone awry. Pretty riveting stuff on CBS 60 Minutes this Sunday night. Correspondent Scott Pelley interviews George Pirro, the FBI agent who interrogated Saddam Hussein after his capture, finding out plenty.
One of the most remarkable things that Pirro found out from Saddam was that Saddam did not believe that the United States would invade. He thought that there would be some sort of an air campaign, maybe lasting several days, and he, Saddam, believed that he could ride that out. And it was only at the very last moment that Saddam realized that President Bush was serious about carrying out his threat.
Some good earnings reports today, but not good enough.
There's just too much bad news out there right now, and investors are not focusing on these good earnings news. They're focusing on all of this extraneous stuff, including more bad news coming out of the banking sector.
CBS News business correspondent Alexis Christophorus reflecting on today's 171-point drop of the Dow. This is CBS News.
At Mercedes-Benz, our affordable certified pre-owned vehicles come with the rich legacy of engineering that is Mercedes-Benz. And a 155-point inspection, roadside assistance, and a 1-year warranty up to 100,000 miles. Every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz retains its integrity because, as a company, we have ours. Stop by your local authorized dealer and ask about the certified pre-owned program by Mercedes-Benz.
See dealer for complete details and warranty and roadside assistance. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles.
Joan!
There's a good reason more people prefer the ease and convenience of Listerine Whitening Quick Dissolving Strips over the leading competitive strip.
Joan, you've been in there for a long time.
You don't have to live in the bathroom.
The kids miss you.
Listerine Whitening Strips dissolve. No mess, nothing to remove.
Summer was beautiful. The dog had pups.
Listerine Whitening Strips mean noticeably whiter teeth or your money back, so come on out.
Is your name Mommy?
Another easy way to a noticeably whiter smile is Listerine Whitening Pre-Brush Rinse.
It's that time of the year in the Crescent City, a little earlier than it usually rolls around.
The Mardi Gras season's kicking it up a notch this weekend with some 24 parades like this one in the greater New Orleans area. Revelers line up along miles of roadway, watching jazz bands, marching bands, hundreds of floats, with children hollering and screaming as they urge the float riders to throw them beaded necklaces, stuffed animals, and a variety of trinkets. This year, some of the parades that haven't rolled since Katrina are back for the first time. It's also an unusually early carnival season, which always comes to an end when Lent and Ash Wednesday arrive. Dave Cohen for CBS News, New Orleans.
Private viewing scheduled today in Manhattan. Actor Heath Ledger. Today, Mary-Kate Olsen says that he was a friend and his death a tragic loss. Says her thoughts are with the family during a very difficult time. Her name is linked to Ledger because police say a masseuse called her three times before dialing 911 after finding Ledger unresponsive. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
You may have to experience Bose Quiet Comfort acoustic noise-canceling headphones to believe them. They're designed to reduce the distractions around you so you can hear your music more clearly when you fly, when you work, when you relax. Call 800-845-2673 right now to try them for 30 days risk-free. Quiet Comfort headphones offer an unmatched combination of audio performance, noise reduction, and comfortable fit. Connect them to your portable MP3 or DVD player. Use them without an audio source to simply enjoy some peace. Order yours right now. 800-845-2673. That's 800-845-2673. Purchase QC headphones by January 31st and receive $50 toward select Bose products purchased at the same time. Conditions and limitations apply. Call for details. Choose Bose QC3 headphones for an on-ear fit or QC2 headphones for an around-ear fit. Order them now at 800-845-2673 and experience the difference Bose technology makes. 800-845-2673.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, live from Washington, D.C. We're at Radio Row at the Mayflower Hotel, and this is the scene of Families USA's Health Action 2008 conference. We've got a great lineup here on the program today, and I'm glad you can join us. In just a moment, we're going to meet the founder of Families USA, Phil Villers. Also this hour, Dee Mahon from Families USA, and Congresswoman Stephanie Tubbs Jones of Ohio is going to join us. She is focused on diversity in delivery of health care, and she also, of course, was one of the champions of fighting the stolen election in Ohio in 2004. We're going to meet some political consultants on the show today. Senator Tom Daschle, the former majority leader of the Senate, will be with us in our third hour. We talked a lot about health care when I spoke with him earlier today, but also we talked with him about the Senate action regarding the FISA law and the part that I can't swallow, which is amnesty for the telephone companies. And you might be surprised, Tom Daschle supports that amnesty. You'll hear about it later on the program. Also, one of my favorite folks, Andrea Battista Schlesinger from the Drum Major Institute, will be here to talk about the impact of this proposed stimulus package, particularly on working Americans and the middle class. And pollster Celinda Lake will join us. She has some interesting comments on polling in general, on the New Hampshire turnabout, and many other issues, too. We are set up here, and we will be able to take phone calls later in the hour. We're working on an alternate routing of our audio path right now, but a little bit later we'll open up the phone lines. You know the number. It's toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Phil Villers joins us here, founder of Families USA. It's Philippe, actually, isn't it, sir?
I use Phil because the French pronunciation is difficult. I was born in France.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm a Francophile, so I'm comfortable with that. How are you today?
Fine. A little tired, but very satisfied.
Now,
the
when
reform movement is really moving, and right now I'd say the wind's at our back.
Well, that's good. Now, when you originally had the idea for Families USA, did you think you would still be working on health care reform in 2008?
No, I did not. But then major reform in this country has always come hard, but ultimately come. Look at the civil rights movement. Look at the women's movement. Look at the abolitionist movement.
Yeah. It
takes time.
Now, with the wind at your back, describe that. How do you feel that the winds are more favorable now than they have been, say, over the last 10 years?
Well, I think the degree to which our so-called healthcare system, it's not really a system, is broken, is something that all Americans are increasingly aware of. It costs too much. We spend more than any other country
on
Earth.
You're listening to KRXA.
And yet we can't even cover everybody.
Mm-hmm.
People are insecure about losing their coverage or about finding out some loophole that they're not really covering.
KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas,
so
and Santa Cruz.
People are ready for change, for something better. I like to think of it as guaranteed, affordable, quality health care for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to get it. I'm very optimistic about next year. We'll have a different president. We'll have a different Congress. And the health care movement, I think, is alive and well. And I expect some results.
Now, in my conversation with Senator Daschle, which our listeners will hear in a couple of hours, we had points of agreement and a little bit of disagreement. One of the things I agreed with him from his speech this morning is that incremental change is no longer really a viable option. We need some pretty dramatic systemic change. But then I disagreed with the senator a little bit on exactly what that means, because I'm a single-payer advocate, and I think that ultimately we need to get there. I'm certainly willing to accept an array of routes over the course of the next few years, but I feel ultimately, A, that the for-profit delivery of health care in this country has proven to be a failure, and we need to recognize that, and that the Medicare model, with 4-5% overhead costs and paperwork costs, shows that while the opponents will cast it as socialist medicine, the government actually can deliver health care to its citizens more efficiently than the private sector.
Well, as we were reminded today, 45% of health care is already delivered
KRXA 540.
By the government, whether you're talking about Medicare for seniors, the Veterans Administration, Department of Defense, federal employees. So it's already there. I would be prepared to agree.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet?
KRXA 540.
Progressive
that
talk
is imperfect.
For Monterey,
it's
Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
And we're now covering 98% of our citizens. Who else can make that claim?
Right. Well, California's trying to catch up, but it's going to be really tough, Phil Villers. We have a budget gap of $14 billion. The price tag for Arnold Care, which again is a patchwork, and it's not perfect, but I accept that it's an important potential step toward full coverage. One of the biggest issues is there's no cost control element built into it, and so we might be able to widen access, but then affordability becomes the barrier for many working people and working families.
And again, we're having to face that in Massachusetts. You can't move ahead on all fronts simultaneously, and we're going to be forced to tackle the issues of cost control, some of which comes easy and some of which comes hard.
Yeah.
For instance, having a uniform electronic system for medical information of all types, that's the low-hanging fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Doing something about runaway prescription drug prices is the tough nut.
Yeah. So let's take that for a moment. How do we take on Big Pharma? Is there a way to get them to partner with healthcare reform? I would imagine that's an effort you've been attempting.
I think that at best, they're going to be somewhat neutral as long as their ox is not gored. But if you're asking whether Big Pharma would like to reduce their profit margin, I think that's not the most difficult question to answer.
Well, in California, just a year and a half ago, we had two ballot measures, one that pharma sponsored, one that consumer groups sponsored, that would have helped drive down prescription drug costs. And pharma spent $90 million to run the confusing alternate ballot measure, and ultimately they had their way because both went down in defeat.
Well, that's part of the problem. The $90 million came from their petty cash fund.
The petty cash fund?
Yes.
Or maybe the advertising budget for that drug for restless leg syndrome. I get in trouble when I mention that, but I'm sorry. I feel like that's a solution in search of the problem.
Oh, actually, the advertising budget is much, much bigger than that. That's their petty cash fund.
Yeah. Now, in broad numbers, over the last few years, I recall seeing a study, and I can't quite summon all the details, but in ballpark terms, the pharmaceutical industry has spent about as much on advertising drugs as consumers have had to absorb in the huge increase in the cost of pharmaceuticals. So all that's being passed on to us, but it is creating demand for the highest profit drugs, which are the newly developed proprietary patented medicines.
Well, That's true. And, of course, the pharmaceutical industry talks a lot about the R&D costs, which are a very important thing. They don't necessarily emphasize that in many cases their profit margin is greater than the amount of money they spend on R&D. And, of course, their advertising of various sorts, including directly to doctors, is vastly greater than what they spend on R&D. So it's a tough issue, but we've faced tough issues in the past.
Phil Villers with us from Families USA. We're live in Washington, D.C. along Radio Row here. Now, the other big stumbling block is the insurance industry. And again, my favoritism for single payer would ultimately take them out of the game. I'm sure they're not happy about that because this is a very profitable sector for them, more profitable than automotive or property insurance. And so how do we find a win-win scenario to get the insurance companies to drop their opposition to fundamental change?
Well, I think we, again, have tested the answer in Massachusetts, which is, people want choice, and one of the forms of choice that we need to give them is the ability to keep what they have or to have access to a public program. And the insurance company is not really opposed to that.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
And poor people, they don't want us customers anyway.
So you think there is a middle ground that can be struck? That we, if we offer these options that include Medicare for all or some form of single payer, plus the option to buy private plans.
We've done that in Massachusetts, and my guess is that next year, when we make a serious, I think, successful effort to get a
Hey, this is Hal. I'm sorry to interrupt the Peter B. Collins Show. I know we're having some technical problems here. We are trying to resolve that right now. That should be resolved by the bottom of the hour. Thank you so much for listening to KRXA 540. Enjoy Peter's show.
You're listening
and
to the new
having them
KRXA 540.
Equal footing is not a bad thing.
Phil Villers, what's your hope for the coming year? Do you have a, you want to see the Children's Health Insurance Program beat the veto?
I'd like to see the Children's Health Program and its expansion be Title I of the health care system that we're going to create next year.
Okay. Phil, always a pleasure to see you. Thanks for putting on a great conference.
A pleasure, Peter.
Philippe Villers. He is the founder of Families USA. We're going to take a break now and return in a moment to meet one of the policy folks from Families USA. That's Dee Mahon, and we'll talk more about health care issues. We're going to go to a break here. When we return, we'll be fully connected in our robust manner, and you can call into the program toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Former Senator Tom Daschle will join us at the top of our third hour on today's program, and I hope you'll be with us. Lots of other excitement to Congresswoman Stephanie Tubbs Jones of Ohio will be with us coming up at the bottom of the hour. Peter B. Collins, live from Washington, D.C., here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
A pleasure, Peter.
Thank you, Phil. Good to see you.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Listen to my show every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. 2 hours of in-depth talk on effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges, whatever the crisis. Addictions, illness, fears, breakups, money problems. I'll bring in the expert guests and we'll do it with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Sun Street Centers. For alcohol and drug treatment, go to www.sunstreetcenters.com.
Jim Moore Income Tax in Watsonville has been helping Monterey Bay Area residents with personal income tax preparation for more than 20 years. And this year, Manager Juan Gonzalez is prepared to assist all taxpayers take advantage of tax credits and rebates especially targeted for the eco-minded. The staff of Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in fast, professional income tax preparation at a very reasonable price. Do you have a naughty tax problem? Let Juan Gonzalez and his staff provide the expert assistance you need. Jim Moore Income Tax is located at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. This year, let Juan Gonzalez show you where the green is for green living taxpayers. Visit Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville. Be sure to take copies of your 2006 tax return and all of your 2007 W-2s and 1099s. Remember Jim Moore Income Tax for all of your tax preparation needs.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Yes, it's talk radio you can dance to. The Peter B. Collins Show, live from Washington, D.C. We're here at the Mayflower Hotel on a busy radio row. Lots of people from all over the country attending this conference. It is Health Action 2008, sponsored by Families USA. And Kathleen D. Stahl is the Director of Health Policy here at Families USA. Kathleen, how are you?
I am having a wonderful time. We have 700 of the best people in the country in our marble hallways here talking about healthcare policy. That's my idea of heaven.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Phil Villers just preceded you, and he's offering a very optimistic view. He said he feels the wind is at his back. Now, I am optimistic, but I'm also very realistic, not cautious, but just pragmatic about the obstacles that we face in trying to use major fundamental reforms on our healthcare system. And I thought Senator Daschle said it properly in his comments today. We're going to hear from him on the program a little bit later, in describing that incremental change is not really an option. It won't really take us where we need to go, not with 47 million uninsured and the costs doubling, while the performance is not improving. We still rank way below where we should in the world in outcomes, in infant mortality, and in many other areas of statistical analysis. So how do we navigate over the next 1 to 3 years to really ultimately make systemic change in our healthcare delivery system?
Well, I think there is a huge window of opportunity in the beginning of 2009 for federal action. There's also a wave of reform at the state level. One of the things that we have that's an impediment right now is that we had the state Children's Health Insurance Program, basically a program that provides a family doctor for hardworking families who don't have an offer of employer-based coverage. That program was successfully negotiated in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Senators Grassley and Hatch, not exactly bastions of liberal thinking, compromised with the Democrats, and we had a good bill, and it was ready to pass Congress, and the only thing that stood between That bill passing and families getting a family doctor for their kids was George Bush,
mm-hmm.
and he vetoed that bill. We haven't been able to override the veto. There's
came close, 15 votes just the other day.
There's 15 Republicans standing with their president.
Mm-hmm.
I think we could see in 2009, first, the S-CHIP bill, the State Children's Health Insurance Program, already exists, a bipartisan bill,
mm-hmm.
move forward with adequate funding so that we can see kids in this country who are in hardworking families who don't have coverage.
But can I indict you for rational thinking here? The problem is those 15 Republicans are hewing to a party line. Some of them might even be defeated in the House in this election cycle this year. But there is a kind of perverse unity among Republicans. And here we see that in 1 week's time, looking at the economy, we can achieve a bipartisan $150 billion stimulus package. But the same people who are willing to approve that all of a sudden have some sort of fiscal responsibility and a sense that this is creeping socialism and we can't have a tobacco tax to pay for it. We have to recognize that this will not just go away.
Well, I think there's been ideological divides on health care policy. There's no question. But I think I don't know those 15 Republicans personally.
Mm-hmm.
But I would suggest that they were a lot more willing to compromise ideologically, but they didn't want to abandon their president. I mean, I think that was part of the dynamic here. I think that we have real opportunity in 2009 for a couple reasons. One, this isn't just about the uninsured. It's also about people who have insurance who are paying more and more in premiums and getting less and less coverage. They feel they're one step away from a financial crisis. They
mm-hmm.
feel what we call health insecurity. They want to guarantee that they will have quality, affordable health care. And that's a self-interest. That's not altruism about the 47 million
mm-hmm.
who are uninsured. Certainly we all care about that. So the self-interest of the insured is coming together with those who want to help the uninsured. I also think that we're worried, we're going into an economic downturn. How does that play into our potential to see real health care reform at the state level and at the federal level?
Right.
And one of the speakers this morning, who's actually Stan Greenberg,
mm-hmm.
is a pollster, made an excellent point that health care and economic concerns are one and the same. When American families think about their economic security, a big piece of that is their health care security.
Right.
So they feel like if you want to create a stable economy in this country, you've got to address health care. People and families see the connection. So I think those messages are coming up from the public. We're seeing
mm-hmm.
the debate. And I think with some new leadership in the White House, we could really make some differences happen in 2009.
Well, just about a minute remaining. So tell my listeners what they should be doing to support this effort. Is it politics this year? We got to get more good people elected?
Well, you bet. That's always part of it. I think we need to keep up a drumbeat that we will demand health care reform in this country, that we want to see a guaranteed, quality, affordable health care promise from our candidates, and we want them to deliver on that. They can go to our website, familiesusa.org, sign up to be part of our health action team, receive alerts, know when to call Congress as things come up, find out about activities in the states that will keep up that drumbeat.
Mm-hmm. All right, Kathleen, great to see you. Thanks for working on this, and I see progress. We just need to keep on going.
Thank you so much.
That's Kathleen Stahl. She is the Director of Health Policy at Families USA. We'll take a break and return. Talk with Congresswoman Stephanie Tubbs Jones of Ohio, a Democrat. That's coming up next. Your calls and comments welcome here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines open at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Grab the podcast at peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Franklin Templeton Investments, providing a unique perspective to investors for over 50 years. Franklin Templeton Investments, gain from their perspective. I'm Charles Osgood. Imagine looking at the world from the perspective of Bill Gates, arguably the richest man in the world.
I'm an optimist, but I'm an impatient optimist. The world is getting better, but it's not getting better fast enough, and it's not getting better for everyone.
Gates spoke yesterday at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, and this is what he said.
The great advances in the world have often aggravated the inequalities in the world. The least needy see the most improvement, and the most needy get the least. In particular, the billion people who live on less than a dollar a day.
Gates loves capitalism, but he says,
we have to find a way to make the aspects of capitalism that serve wealthier people serve poorer people as well.
And Bill Gates has an idea. You'll hear it after this.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Are you still running on last year's technology? Then hurry into Office Depot for great deals on the latest tech products. Office Depot has a wide assortment of printers, and this week get a $75 mail-in savings on HP printers, $199.99 or more. And to bring your camera into the digital age, save 15% instantly on Canon and Sony cameras, $199.99 or more. Office Depot, taking care of business and all your technology needs. Excludes discontinued bundles and clearance items. Offers expire January 26th.
Did you know your home can help you pay for college or a home renovation?
Here's a Smart Borrower tip, courtesy of the Smart Borrower Center at LendingTree.com.
Because home equity loans are secured by your home, their interest rates are generally lower than non-secured loans, saving you money. Just be smart about how much you borrow and don't take out more than you can afford.
For more information and objective advice on lending, visit the Smart Borrower Center at LendingTree.com/smartborrower today or call 1-800-555-TREE for information and licensing.
Here is Bill Gates' idea.
I like to call this idea creative capitalism, an approach where governments, businesses, and nonprofits work together to stretch the reach of market forces so that more people can make a profit or gain recognition doing work that eases the world's inequities.
There are great needs in the world, he says, and the great innovators in business can help.
This hybrid engine of self-interest and concern for others can serve a much wider circle of people than can be reached by self-interest alone.
Listen, says Bill Gates.
If we can spend the early decades of the 21st century finding approaches that meet the needs of the poor in ways that generate profits and recognitions for business, we will have found a sustainable way to reduce poverty in the world.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow. Hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests and you call in with your questions and ideas. And we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it five times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters. Weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
33 minutes after the hour, we continue our live broadcast from Washington, D.C., the scene of the Families USA Health Action 2008 conference. And I know it's windy, rainy. It even snowed near Los Angeles overnight. Here in Washington, it is chilly, but we haven't had any ice or snow or any of the nasty stuff. Joining me now is Congresswoman Stephanie Tubbs Jones, Democrat from Ohio. Congresswoman, thanks for talking with us tonight.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be with you.
Well, it's my pleasure, and you're joining us from Cleveland tonight, scene of your district. And before we talk about health care, Congresswoman, I just have to tell you that you are a hero of mine because you stood up for honest elections in 2004 in my birth state of Ohio. And I happened to be there in Columbus. It was about the 5th of January, 2005, when there was a public gathering And you announced that you would, together with David Cobb of the Green Party, who helped lead a recount in Ohio, or at least authorize it, that you would front a challenge, an official challenge to the vetting of the results when the Senate met in January just about a week later. And you did follow through with that, and I was equally proud of my Senator Barbara Boxer, who this time backed you, recognized you, and under the rules sustained the objections that you filed to the 2004 election. And I just want to say that I will always be grateful to you for the work that you did there.
Thank you so very much. It was an amazing day for me personally, and I knew that there were a lot of young voters across this country who had gone out and voted, and they were stood up, unable to vote, and I said, somebody has to say something. Otherwise, we lose their interest in voting if nobody stands up and says they were wrong. And so I was happy to have that opportunity. It was an amazing day. And now, you know, people said to me, you shouldn't do that. You know, you're going to put yourself in jeopardy of not being able to get appropriations and so forth. I said, if that's all I lose, so what?
Yeah. Well, and have there been any repercussions, any backlash?
You know, of people talking. But I work hard in my congressional district, and I know that the people who elected me wanted me to do that, and that's why I stood up.
Right. Congresswoman, there's a new documentary out called Uncounted. Have you had a chance to see that?
I haven't seen Uncounted. I'm going to have to see that one.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. I will send you a DVD when I get back to California.
I'd appreciate it.
And maybe on one of those plane rides from Cleveland to Washington or whenever it's convenient for you, you can take a look. Because what they did was analyze the Ohio election in particular and showed that it wasn't just the voting machines, although they were a very critical issue. But there was a broad-based effort to suppress participation of voters who were likely to be Democratic.
They sure did. And, you know, there were calls into some of the congressional districts predominantly minorities saying, oh, it's going to be a busy on election day. Don't vote today. You can go vote tomorrow, and their lines won't be long.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. So tell me how you're feeling with a new Secretary of State there. Ken Blackwell is comfortably retired somewhere, I guess, maybe Cincinnati. And
you know, I haven't seen or heard of him yet since then.
Really?
No, nowhere. In fact, I asked somebody the other day where he was, and they said he was in Cincinnati, but I have not personally seen him.
He didn't take exile in the south of France like Baby Doc.
No, he did not. Might have been a good idea, though. You know, he might come back.
Anyway, how do you feel about Jennifer Bruner and the steps that she has taken to tighten up electoral processes and to rein in the widespread use of the voting machines?
You know what? I think Jennifer Bruner has done a magnificent job, and it took a lot of guts to say to a number of the congressional, a number of the districts that you need to change to a paper ballot, that these machines are not reliable, and the best way we can do this is to try paper ballots in the primary and hopefully have them in place for November. When we think about how much we value our voting and the right to vote and the sanctity of the voting booth, that it makes sense that we have in place opportunities for people to vote, for them to be able to know that their vote counted. And so I take my hat off to Jennifer Bruner, and I'm happy that she is the new Secretary of State. She has a lot of experience, background, and backbone, which you need to operate in these days.
Congresswoman Stephanie Tubbs-Jones with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Just one more question about elections. In your base county there of Cuyahoga, and you once served as the first African-American prosecutor there.
Correct.
Do you feel that those who were accused and a few convicted of improper activities in the recount of the Ohio presidential vote of 2004, do you believe that all of the wrongdoing has been exposed and those responsible held accountable?
Well, you know what? One of the things I have to say about the women that were ultimately charged, they were following directions. They were following a course of conduct that had been in place previously. I live by a decision of a judge and a decision of a jury with regard to the case, but I believe that Cuyahoga County is now a place where you can feel confident that when you go to vote, your vote will be counted. And I expect that a lot of people are going to be paying closer attention to what's happening in Cuyahoga County in this 2008 election, and believe that the members that are serving on the Board of Elections now, in conjunction with the Secretary of State's office, will do the best job that they can do to assure that people's votes are counted. So I'm confident and comfortable that things are going to go well. But, you know, elections, you never know what kind of dastardly deeds people will engage in to try and frustrate the vote. It may not be at the voting booth that we have a problem. It may be in getting to the voting booth.
Yeah.
Remember some of the conduct of persons back in Florida back in 2000. And so we always have to be aware. But one of the things that we have put in place are people who can stand at voting locations if people have a problem to address some of those issues. And thank God Ken Blackwell is gone and none of the additional rulings that he made will be in place when we get ready to go to the voting booth.
Now, I escaped from Cincinnati after high school. How does Hamilton County look? That's been a scene of a Republican machine for way too long.
We have had a scene of Republican machine, but the beauty of the 2006 elections in Ohio were that every statewide election office holder is now a Democrat, but for the auditor. And I believe that there are enough people in the boards of elections across the state of Ohio under the direction of this new Secretary of State that we should have a great election operating, not only in the primary, because it looks like Ohio may well now be in play in the primary, along in the presidential race, along with what we do in November.
And do you have have you endorsed yet in the presidential primary?
I sure have. I am a national co-chair for Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton, and I like what she's done. In fact, in 2005, she introduced in the Senate, and I introduced in the House, companion legislation called Count Every Vote. And Count Every Vote is viewed as a Cadillac of elections preservation. It provides for no excuse absentee balloting. It provides for election day being a holiday. It puts penalties in place for people who infringe upon persons' rights to vote. It outlaws the Secretary of State being the chair of the campaign of any presidential candidate. It outlaws the Secretary of State having any interest in a computer company that's has the computers for the election. So I think that our, even though it has not been passed, often when you put those types of proposals out in front, people are guided by the sense that people are not going to accept that type of conduct anymore.
Now, speaking of Hillary Clinton and voter suppression, an attorney for the Obama campaign has filed some documents with the Nevada State Democratic Party. Suggesting that there may have been attempts by the Clinton campaign to suppress participation in the caucuses. And in particular, it is alleged that doors were closed and registration was cut off 30 minutes before the officially scheduled time. Do you have any view on that, Congressman?
I have no knowledge of those allegations, but I also know that there are allegations with regard to the Obama campaign that there, in fact, were people who are trying to suppress the vote of Hispanics in Nevada, as well as various types of radio and robocalls sent into Hispanic neighborhoods. You know, ultimately the court will give the answer, but I do not believe that the Clinton campaign engaged in any conduct to suppress anybody's vote or to try and keep people from getting to the ballot box. It was the Obama campaign that suggested that people be able to vote in casinos across Nevada. I think they should have, if they were going to do it in casinos, they should have done it in other working places where people couldn't get away from their job to go and caucus. That's the dilemma with caucuses, is the fact that you have to be in the room at a certain time and be willing to sit there. What about people who had to vote somewhere else, who had families who they had to take care of, who had children they had to take care of, who were disabled and couldn't get to the ballot box? There are a lot of issues around caucusing that we may well have to pay attention to in upcoming years.
Congresswoman Stephanie Tubbs-Jones is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Let's talk about health care. You came to the Families USA conference and gave a great speech yesterday morning, and you were focusing on disparities.
Well, I did that because I knew other people would be talking about other issues. And prominent, I serve on the Health Subcommittee of the Ways and Means Committee. And in my congressional district, more people are employed by health institutions than any other employer. And it's important to me that we focus in on health care. And one of the things that the studies have shown is that minorities, African-American and Hispanic, have disparities in the delivery of the service. That if you could have an African-American and a white person having the same health care coverage, but the African-American having less access to the delivery of that service. The reality is that there are certain diseases that predominate in African-American and other minority communities that are not looked upon or serviced by healthcare institutions. And there's also the whole issue of language as well as cultural sensitivity involved in the delivery of healthcare. And it's important to me that all Americans have access to the great healthcare that we have in the United States of America. And the reality is we have great healthcare. The dilemma is with the delivery of that healthcare.
And you made a comment, too, that struck me that the Cleveland Clinic is a recognized center, you know, on the par with the Mayo Clinic and others. And yet you said that there are people from right there in Cleveland who can't get the health care they need at the Cleveland Clinic, but people can fly in from outside and get that care.
That's correct. And I love the Cleveland Clinic. It's a wonderful institution. It's provided services beyond those that anybody could ever imagine. But the access to that service is not evenly dispersed. And I've been working with the Cleveland Clinic around that particular issue. And we need, and I'm sure it's not just in Cleveland that that occurs. I'm sure it's across the country because many of these institutions are what we call tertiary care institutions, meaning that it is the level three. You have primary, you have secondary, and tertiary is where you're dealing with serious illnesses that require certain research and rendering of services that far exceed the ability of many people to pay. And so, therefore, if you have a health care coverage, that's the thing that we've been talking about. There may be people who are uninsured, but there are also people who are underinsured, and they cannot access the dynamic services that are provided by many of the prime health care delivery institutions in this country.
And Congresswoman, in your goals in terms of health care reform in the coming year, if you had to pick three, what would they be?
That we would figure out a way that the paperwork of health care delivery is diminished, because a lot of the money that's put into health care is expended in the administrative costs. I think there should be, or we should work towards, universal health care as well as single-payer care. And people use that those terms, they intersperse them. But the reality is that we have to figure out a way that the services that we deliver reach all people. Right now, so many people are getting their health care delivery through an emergency room, which all of us know is the most expensive way to deliver health care. The reality is that we need in America preventive health care, such that there are situations where we prevent some of the dilemmas we've been faced with over the years. Perfect example is a poor kid who died in Maryland, and he had an abscessed tooth. And there's no way anybody should die from having an abscessed tooth.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Congresswoman, thank you for your fight. Thanks for your advocacy. Thanks again for challenging the presidential election in 2004 in Ohio. And I look forward to talking with you again soon.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity to be heard. And I just want to say to everybody listening, your vote is your voice. If you don't use your vote, you lose your voice. And then you can't complain about what happens in America. Get out and vote. Choose your candidate. I'm a Hillary supporter, but you may not choose Hillary. Whoever you choose, go out and say that you choose them, and let's get this process working appropriately. And I want to say to you, keep on keeping us on point. Advocate on behalf of the people you represent and hold elected officials accountable. I thank you for the chance to be with you.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Congresswoman. Stephanie Tubbs Jones, Democrat from Cleveland. We'll take a break and return. More live coverage of the Families USA Health Action 2008 conference in Washington next on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Then dying coral reefs pushed us, hard. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the greatest talk radio station on the planet. West of the Mississippi. Along the Pacific Coast. In California. Below Davenport. Above Lucia. And west of the Gavilan Mountains. KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
The Peter B. Collins Show, live from Washington, D.C., and I remain your humble host, Peter B. We're here live on Radio Row, where things change by the minute, and I never know quite who's going to pop up, but I'm delighted that Lisa McGifford has dropped in here. Lisa, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks.
You're with Consumers Union, and I got to see a little bit of your presentation in a workshop panel this afternoon, and your focus is on people who go to the hospital with one illness and come back maybe cured of what they went there for, but they pick up something, a bonus gift, a Ginsu knife, as a result of their hospitalization. Tell us about how serious this problem has become.
Well, hospital-acquired infections is the focus of our campaign, and we're trying to get public reporting of hospital infection rates. These infections are way too common in hospitals. 2 million people a year get infections while they're in the hospital, and about 100,000 of them die every year. That's more than homicides and car accidents combined. Probably almost everyone that's listening to your show knows someone who had an infection in the hospital.
Yeah.
And yet there's much hospitals can do to prevent these that they're not doing. And that's the focus of our campaign, to get them to improve their infection rates.
Now, there's been some attention recently to some of these resistant strains of staph that are confounding doctors because the old kinds of antibiotics that they used to use are now impotent. But beyond that, that seems to be a fairly recent development. Is there an underlying set of dirty laundry, if you will, that just hasn't been made public?
Well, we believe that the fact that infection rates are not public is one of the things that has kept this information underground. I mean, the culture in the hospitals has been to accept them as something that just happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't something that just happens. It happens because people are not practicing medicine in a way that prevents infections. And there are many, many strategies that can be used. Some of them are as simple as good hand hygiene. The studies repeatedly show that doctors and nurses wash their hands about half the time between patients. And that's just a simple thing that can be done. And there are other strategies countries that can prevent infections. But bottom line is that people haven't been aware that this is a problem. And I think in many cases, hospitals in the past have been too nonchalant about it and accepting of this happening in their hospitals.
And Lisa, have standards declined because of cost cutting?
I don't know that standards have declined so much. There is cost cutting, and sometimes they cut back on nurses, for example, and there is a relationship between nurse ratio and infections. They cut back on cleaning staff, and that's a central part to prevent infections. But mostly it's been... I think the thing that's most contributing to the increase in infections is the antibiotic-resistant strain of infections like the one you mentioned, MRSA. And what's happened is that some of these bugs are really smart, and they mutate real fast, and as soon as there's a new antibiotic on the scene, they begin changing to adjust to them. So the only way to stop them, really, is to prevent them up front, because there isn't, eventually the medications we have aren't going to work, and we can't produce enough antibiotics to keep up with these superbugs.
To your knowledge, does stem cell research or any other biomedical research offer some breakthroughs in this area?
I don't know of any. I know that there is a concern that there's not a lot of incentive for drug companies to develop new antibiotics because they can't make a lot of money off of them.
Oh. Okay, well, if that's the case, then we are back to your original point, that we have to stop these things from spreading to begin with.
We do, and we can. And hospitals, there are quite a number of, I would call, innovative hospitals that are implementing certain methods to prevent infection. They're measuring them, and they're finding that, in fact, they work. What a novel idea. If you follow the science, these are evidence-based medicine. This is like the scientific studies have shown these practices stop infections. And when they're put into place, you can actually prevent them from occurring. And that's ultimately what we want to happen is for hospitals to practice good medicine and doctors to practice good medicine and for the outcome to improve.
Any other factors here that contribute to this?
Some of the factors are that we have more high-tech medical care than we used to. So when you go into the hospital, the people who are in the hospital tend to be a lot sicker than in years past. So they have a lot more devices and tubes and all kinds of things going into their body, and that creates more opportunities for infection to enter the body. It's really dangerous when it gets into your bloodstream or organs, and these are killers, and they're horrible cases for somebody to go through. I mean, this bacteria literally gets inside the body and eats the body from the inside out. And it's very, very difficult to, when it gets that invasive, to treat an infection, and many people don't survive it.
Just about a minute remaining. One of the other things I was struck by in your talk is the limited inspection regimes, that most hospitals are only inspected every 3 years and doctor's offices never?
That's correct. That our restaurants are inspected a lot more frequently, and a lot of people know that when they see on the news that a restaurant's been shut down because they've got some kind of bacteria in the food or unclean environment, that has an impact on whether people want to go there. But we don't have that kind of information on hospitals, and they do get inspected about once every 3 years. Now, sometimes in the state they'll go in if there's a complaint, but regularly they do not oversee what happens in the hospitals.
And what about private surgical suites, say, in a doctor's office where he has his own operating room?
Less frequently inspected. There are more outpatient surgical centers that probably are inspected occasionally, but not very frequently.
Very interesting. Do you have a website where people can get more information?
I do. It's www.stophospitalinfections.org, and people can come and get all kinds of information, get active, and also tell their stories.
Great. Nice to meet you. Thanks for dropping in.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Lisa McGifford from Consumers Union. We'll take a break and return. More live coverage from Washington, D.C. straight ahead on the Peter B. Collins Show. Produced by Katrina Rill, Brian Urban is at the controls. Watch out.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
As Democrats talk about adding to the stimulus plan,
I strongly believe it would be a mistake to delay or derail this bill.
A possible terrorist plot in Europe.
When the U.S. Attorney General was asked how concerned he is on a scale of 1 to 10, he said 11.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney.
This is a sound package. It makes a lot of sense. It's needed. And you need to pass it as quickly as possible to get money in the hands of the people who will help this economy stay strong.
President Bush spoke to House Republicans at their retreat in White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia, urging quick passage of the economic stimulus plan. But some Democrats in the Senate want to make changes. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
Despite stern warnings the stimulus deal could fall apart if the Senate tinkers with it, Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid says they may.
We'll see what we do with all of our Senate rules. What changes are going to be made in this.
He wants to add an increase in food stamps, which House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she rightly negotiated away to get larger rebate checks.
I thought it was far more important to put a check for $1,000 in the hands of the mom of that family.
Pelosi says no matter what happens in the stimulus package, Democrats will work towards increasing food stamps, which only barely provide people with enough to eat. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Stock traders took some quick profits today. After 2 days of strong gains, the Dow lost 171 points to close at 12,207. It's still up nearly 1% for the week. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus says the market remains skittish.
The bad news in the banking sector continues to pile up. Now we have Fannie Mae saying that delinquent home loans rose about 50% from a year earlier. Belgium's biggest financial services company is going to take billions of dollars in write-downs because of the mortgage mess. And there's news that Goldman Sachs may cut 5% of its workforce.
The Nasdaq fell 34 points to 2326. Now this.
Ever wonder when buying a used car if you're just buying a used problem? Not if it's a Honda-certified used car. They're well-maintained, late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by a 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty from the original in-service date and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. Plus, now you can get low APR financing on all certified used Honda models. It may be used, but it's still a Honda. Problem solved.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
If I eat something spicy, I'll go to bed at 9. Because I know heartburn's going to hit me in the middle of the night. After a while, friends just stop calling.
Heartburn isn't funny. That's why Zantac is serious. Just one pill relieves your toughest heartburn all day or all night. So the suffering stops and life starts. Heartburn? Attack it. Zantac. Use as directed.
After the roundup of suspected terrorists in Spain, there's concern that there might be a wider conspiracy. CBS News correspondent David Martin reports.
5 European countries are investigating suspected terrorist plots which track back to Al-Qaeda's sanctuary in the tribal areas of Pakistan. U.S. officials don't know if it's coordinated, but terrorists arrested in Spain for plotting suicide attacks against the Barcelona subway had traveled to the tribal areas. They in turn had links to suspected terrorists in Germany, France, Great Britain, and Portugal, where U.S. officials believe similar plots are in the works.
It's the eve of South Carolina's Democratic primary. Hillary Clinton picked up endorsements from 2 prominent black women today, while Barack Obama claimed he's attracting crossover support.
I knew because in these crowds, I'd shake their hands, they'd whisper to me. They'd say, Barack,
I'm a Republican, but I support you.
And I'd say,
thank you. Why are we whispering?
Republicans are campaigning in the Florida primary next Tuesday, and Rudy Giuliani suffered a setback today.
I'm Peter King.
De los Estados Unidos, Rudy Giuliani!
The former New York City mayor has been working hard in Little Havana.
Cuban-American is one word.
But Florida's Cuban-American U.S. Senator Mel Martinez has endorsed John McCain. The pair worked closely on the failed immigration bill. They're also close friends. Martinez came here from Cuba as a child in the Pedro Pan airlift in the early 60s. He's well-liked, well-respected in the Cuban community, which tends to vote Republican. And now Rudy Giuliani may be wondering if he's just seen a key piece of his Florida strategy go up in smoke.
In Las Vegas, a spectacular fire on the roof of the Monte Carlo Casino Hotel. Flavia works nearby.
It's just a lot of thick black smoke, and you see it spreading fairly fast, and you get a lot of the residue from above falling all the way down.
As the building was evacuated, five people were injured and had to be hospitalized. Apparently, the fire was touched off by a welder doing maintenance. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
At Mercedes-Benz, our affordable certified pre-owned vehicles come with the rich legacy of engineering that is Mercedes-Benz. And a 155-point inspection, roadside assistance, and a one-year warranty up to 100,000 miles. Every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz retains its integrity because, as a company, we have ours. Stop by your local authorized dealer and ask about the certified pre-owned program by Mercedes-Benz.
See dealer for complete details and warranty and roadside assistance. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles.
Joan!
There's a good reason more people prefer the ease and convenience of Listerine Whitening Quick Dissolving Strips over the leading competitive strip.
Joan, you've been in there for a long time.
You don't have to live in the bathroom.
The kids miss you.
Listerine Whitening Strips dissolve. No mess, nothing to remove.
Summer was beautiful. The dog had pups.
Listerine Whitening Strips mean noticeably whiter teeth or your money back, so come on out.
Is your name Mommy?
Another easy way to a noticeably whiter smile is Listerine Whitening...
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Okay, let him know I'm back. We're connected. Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 6 minutes after the hour. We're live in Washington, D.C. And that's Steve Miller rocking us into this segment. Lots going on tonight. About an hour from now, Tom Daschle, former Senate Majority Leader. He was a minority leader, too. He spent a lot of time herding Democrats on Capitol Hill. And he'll be with us with interesting comments about the health care crisis. We also talked with him about Senate action on the FISA bill. And he and I have a difference on that you'll hear aired out coming up in about an hour. I want to take a moment here to thank Candy Stroud, who has organized this radio row. And what did you have, about 4 days after New Hampshire? I mean, you've been very busy here in 2008.
It's wonderful, though. We love working with people like you, Peter, the greatest talk show host of the history of America.
Oh, my God. You know, there's a writer's strike. You can't say stuff like that with a straight face.
I wrote it myself.
Well, Candy, it's been fabulous here, and we always know when you're at the helm that it's all going to work. And Louisa Frost is an incredible technical director, and the whole team from Talk Radio News Service who helps staff this. It just makes for a great operation.
Well, you know, we really appreciate it when people like you, Peter, take the time out of your schedule to come all the way from California and come here and to be interested in issues that are so critically important to the American people, because oftentimes we don't hear a whole lot about healthcare. We hear about these different candidates' plans, but a lot of them are kind of general. But you've had the opportunity here to talk to people about really specific things.
Mm-hmm.
And you've had the opportunity to talk to people with really heart-wrenching stories, like Kelly Stallman, who has those two children in their teens who are quadriplegic,
yeah.
Paraplegic, and cerebral palsy victims that
yeah.
she has to feed with a feeding tube every day, you know, change them. I don't know if you saw their pictures, but these boys are most...
They're 15-year-old twins.
They're twins that she had prematurely at, you know, 1 or 2 pounds because she was toxemic and everything. But the point is that her story is about, you know, how the healthcare system, she had to fight so hard to be able to get care for those boys. They had a surgery that she told me tonight cost $100,000 for one child's back, to have the back broken because it had scoliosis and things like that. Yeah. So you get these unbelievable stories that really help relate to your listeners what people are going through, what people have to go through.
Well, we had the Frost family. We talked about them all fall when they became targets of the right-wing attack machine. And to meet them and, you know, young Graham, who's 12, the guy who gave the radio address and is willing to give his direct comments about President Bush, I mean, that's inspiring. It's uplifting.
Yeah, it truly is. I've been very uplifted by a lot of the things that I've seen and heard today. I thought it was interesting. I got to hear a little bit of the conference, which I usually don't get to do, but got to hear, you know, the incredible Celinda Lake talking about how, you know, national health care really is on the minds of people. I mean, people are really, really worried about who's going to take care of them. Women want peace of mind more than anything. You know, it used to be they wanted equality. Now they want to know that their health care is going to be taken care of, their future, their peace of mind.
And Celinda will be with us next hour, one of the leading pollsters in America. Yeah.
Absolutely. And so, and you've been a real champ about taking so many guests that we've, you know, run through your show here, and I hope you've enjoyed it.
Everything except that Candy Stroud. You know, we got a bouncer. In fact, get the gong, will you? Candy, thank you very much.
Peter B., thank you so
much.
Great
to see you.
We'll see you soon.
Yes, we will. We're live here in Washington, D.C., and joining me now is Jonathan Vanderberg. He's the Healthcare Justice Director out of Chicago's Campaign for Better Healthcare. And, Jonathan, thank you for joining us on the Peter B. Collins Show today.
It's good to be here.
Now, I like, I'm just picking up on your business card here. I like the idea of including the concept of justice with healthcare. That's a little different.
Yeah, it is. There's many motivations for wanting to have healthcare reform. And one of the strongest that hits at the gut the most, I think, is the motivation of justice. That, it shouldn't be in our society that whether
Healthcare... Wait a minute. You're not one of those liberals who's going to tell me that healthcare is a right, are you?
Actually...
Go ahead. I'd love to hear it.
What I'm going to say is that let me spin it to you this way, and that is that healthcare, guaranteed healthcare security for all, is an economic imperative. Let me throw it to you that way. And this is why. In the state of Illinois, Families USA, who's hosting this conference, did a specific study to our state. And what they found is that the average family in Illinois pays $1,000 more in premiums to cover the uninsured. So the reason why we need health care reform, the reason why we need to guarantee it for all people, if you're not motivated by justice, be motivated by your pocketbook, because you're paying for it.
Is corporate America getting that message? Because Tom Daschle had a great PowerPoint display this morning, very clearly showed that corporate paid health insurance is declining rapidly, and that in small businesses it's even worse, dropping below 50%. So are we seeing that economic imperatives will drive corporate decision makers to change their tune about health care reform?
I think so. And let me give you an example. In the state of Illinois, we had the Health Care Justice Act, and that established a task force. Like most task forces, you say they'll produce a study, it'll go on a shelf, it'll gather dust, and that's it. Didn't happen in Illinois. The task force produced a very strong plan that included what we call an employer assessment. And what an employer assessment says is, listen, the way we have it right now is that the government, at least in the state of Illinois, is creating an unequal playing field. In 2006, what we found in Illinois, that the state of Illinois was spending $350 million a year providing public health coverage to very large corporations that could easily provide it to their employees. You can walk into a Walmart. And
I was just about to mention them.
You could walk into some Walmarts that's been documented and known in Illinois. You'll get your employment application, and then you'll get an application for Medicaid from the state.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't care what you think about this or that, it's not fair. And that's where healthcare reform becomes a tax fairness and a business fairness issue. There's no reason why in our state or any other state the government should be subsidizing care for big companies while small companies do the right thing, provide care, and then get undercut in prices.
Mm-hmm.
What an employer assessment said, and it was recommended, it was a revenue source that was recommended by our task force, is it says we'll expect you to pay a certain amount, it's a very reasonable amount, on health care for your employees. And if you provide that, you're fine. You know, you're fine. It's an issue of shared responsibility. If you're not taking responsibility, then we expect you to pay for what our government and taxpayers are providing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's an issue of fairness. And so I do think that employers are getting it. If you look at a GM car, $1,500 per car is from healthcare costs. You look at a Toyota car, it's about $75.
Mm-hmm.
You can do the math.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to continue to compete globally.
Well, Senator Stabenow from Michigan was with us yesterday about this time. And I made the point that I have many times before that when Detroit comes calling here in Washington for a bailout, we need to provide single-payer, universal coverage health care for every worker in America. In fact, for every citizen is what I'd like to see. But my point is that if we do take that burden off of employers, we're also going to take it off the employees, because right now that's where it's going. They're shifting from the employer paid, used to be 100%, and now, of course, it's far below that. And I believe this is the kind of bailout, I'd love to see that instead of a stimulus package right now.
Or actually, what I would say is it is a stimulus package. I mean, here's the thing. Do you want to stimulate the economy by sending everyone a $150 check? You get the check.
Yeah, I'm getting $300.
Are you really?
Yeah I'm counting on it already.
Better off than I am.
I think I spent it already.
That's one way to do a stimulus. Let me tell you a better way to do a stimulus, and that is relieve the burden of health care costs from the average American family. Let them live off of that, free from that burden, with some peace of mind. And take away the drag on the economy that unrealistic health care costs. Families USA, again, did a very good study. It's called Too Great a Burden. And what that study found is, you know, this health care crisis isn't just about the uninsured. It's about the insured.
Mm-hmm.
They looked at, there are 60 million Americans who spend more than 10% of their household income, pre-tax, mind you, pre-tax, more than 10% of it on health care costs.
Mm-hmm.
60 million people. You want to guess how many of those people have insurance? 82%.
Wow.
82% are insured, and they're still spending that amount. If you take a look at people who spend more than a quarter of their income on health care costs,
mm-hmm.
75% of those people are insured. There's a creep going on here, and it's sucking in the middle class. And it's no longer just an issue of the uninsured.
Mm-hmm.
It's an issue of guaranteed health care security for all. And that's got to happen.
Jonathan Vandenberg, just about 30 seconds here. What's your take on the junior senator from Illinois on health care?
He's from Illinois? I didn't know that. I would also say that we have a senator from New York who was born and raised in suburban Chicago as well.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
we got a big Illinois footprint. We're excited. We are excited.
But just specifically on health care.
On health care.
The Obama plan, you think it's adequate?
I think the Obama plan offers, to be honest, a lot of the plans are very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's important is that we realize that these are the plans are the way to go, not the health savings accounts and the rich tax deductions mm-hmm. of the Republicans. We've got to get a Democrat in there.
Got to stop there. Thank you, Jonathan Vandenberg from the Campaign for Better Health Care. We're going to take a break and return. More from Washington and the campaign of the I'm getting my organizations mixed up. The Families USA Health Action Conference. I'm Peter B. Collins. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2008 Audi TT Coupe, a zippy little sports car that's a lot of fun if you can afford it. The TT's sleek design and 3.2-liter six-cylinder engine with direct injection produce an amazing land rocket. The six-speed automatic has a dual-clutch gearbox, and even though I'm not sure how it works, it's one of the smoothest in recent memory. Handling, traction, and the Quattro all-wheel drive, all excellent. Inside, it's roomier than most of its competitors and has all the gadgets you'd expect. Before you buy a roadster, including Porsche, BMW, Mercedes, or Mazda, be sure to take a spin in an Audi TT. By the numbers, the Audi TT gets 18 mpg in the city, 24 on the highway, and sells in California for about $48,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Good morning, I'm Erica Martin. Let's take a look at KRXA traffic. We've got better news for Southern California. Highway 5 has been reopened in both directions over the Grapevine. However, if you're traveling today or this weekend, expect delays. You'll have some CHP escorts. Meanwhile, closer to home in Castroville, Highway 183 at Blackie Road, still some fallen trees in the highway. And a warning, of course, take it extra slow today in the Santa Cruz Mountains. We've got rain, very heavy rain at both directions in the Summit area. KRXA traffic is thanks to Macy's. Check out this weekend where the clearance savings just keep getting better. Save on fashions and accessories for him, for her, and for the home. Again, KRXA weather, we do have rain in the forecast with snow at the higher elevations. Let's check those current temperatures around the Monterey Bay. It's 52 degrees in Salinas. It is raining in Santa Cruz at 51 degrees, and it is 48 degrees right here in Monterey. Stay tuned for the KRXA Morning Show with Hal Ginsberg.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, live from Washington, D.C. We're at the scene of Health Action 2008, put on by Families USA, the Mayflower Hotel. As we mentioned, coming up next hour, we've got some great guests. We recorded them earlier today, just so we're clear about that. Tom Daschle, the former Senate Majority Leader, will be with us at the top of next hour. And we're also going to meet Andrea Batista Schlesinger once again. She advocates for middle-class Americans at the Drum Major Institute. Fascinating young woman. And also on tonight's program, Celinda Lake will be our last guest. She's an interesting progressive pollster, and we had a remarkable conversation. I think you'll enjoy that. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're joined now by Californian Marty Martinez, who is the policy director for the California Pan-Ethnic Health Network. Marty, welcome.
Thank you, Peter.
Say hello to Sacramento, San Francisco, Eureka, Monterey. We're covering the Golden State.
Good to talk to all of you.
Tell us about your organization. What's your focus?
We focus on California health policy from a communities of color perspective. Mm-hmm. So we bring a multicultural approach to health policy, health reform, health policy change. It's a recognition that, you know, California was one of the first states that have tipped over to being a majority people of color state. And
right.
It's a recognition, our group is a recognition that if we're all unified together, we're actually the majority of Californians, and any kind of health care reform needs to take, it's not a one-size-fits-all approach.
Mm-hmm.
Healthcare reform has to work toward, you know, there are very specific issues that are very specific to communities of color, and we have to make sure that those issues are addressed in the broader perspective of healthcare reform.
And have you been at the table for Arnold Care discussions?
We
or in the tent with a cigar?
We've been sort of like, you know, we've been like a block away. We can hear them talking in the little, you know, we shout a little bit. It's been, you know, we've been at some tables, not others. We had issues with a number of the first drafts of the governor's health care reform,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, we never quite opposed them, but we might have gotten to that point. Although right now we're at a point where with his compromise, the compromise bill that's out there now that's sitting in the Senate, we are trying to get that out. I don't
mm-hmm.
want to quite say we're supportive of it, but we're supportive amended is the official position. But we're like, because we still don't like little bits of it. But
yeah.
overall, we want to see it pass because
mm-hmm.
we think overall we're going to be so much better off than without it. We did an analysis that 70% of the newly insured
mm-hmm.
under that proposal are going to be people of color, which just makes sense because we're the majority of the uninsured.
And will they be able to afford it?
Well, that is of course the question. The vast majority of the low-income people
mm-hmm.
are going to get coverage that's going to be comparable to, like, Medi-Cal healthy families where
mm-hmm.
They can afford it.
Okay.
There is going to be a sliver of people who might not be able to.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hope we can try to address that problem as
yeah.
well. So, again, it is a balancing act. I don't want to sit here and just sing its praises. But overall,
mm-hmm.
we really hope it gets through because we're going to benefit disproportionately.
Yeah. It's got a long way to go. It's got to get out of the Senate.
Yeah.
It's got to get on the ballot. And then the voters have to approve it after we see cuts to things like health care to attempt
That's
to
ironic,
balance the budget without a tax increase under this Republican governor.
Yeah, it's crazy. He's pushing health care reform and then putting these cuts on the table. I mean, the cuts to Medi-Cal, part of his health care proposal is to raise the rates that doctors get for serving Medi-Cal, which,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's criminal how little they get paid. Who wants to do Medi-Cal now, right? So he wants to increase it there. And then on the other hand, he's putting this budget out with another cut
yeah.
to Medi-Cal providers. I mean, it really is contradictory. I can't.
Well,
we're
several
blocks away from him on that one.
But right? I have a partial explanation. The people he's really dealing with are members of the Republican Party in the Senate and the Assembly, because they're the ones who blocked his budget last year and who will be the stumbling block for approving this year. He's got to do it all with Democratic votes. And you've
yeah.
seen the mechanism where it's going to the ballot in two pieces, one the policy and the other the funding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy, huh? I mean, he seemed to really be optimistic until very late in the game that he would get some Republican support for his health care reform proposal. And it was pretty clear. I mean, they said from the beginning they weren't going to support it. And you see how Mitt Romney's running away from his Massachusetts reform and the Republican Party. So I don't know where he really goes from here. He seems so unpopular among the Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
He should just sort of jettison the more conservative policies, I would think, and just...
So
just
point
to the left. That's what I would do. If
you had to name
a
point person or two in the California State Senate on your side of this issue, these debates, who would it be?
Well, did you mean it?
Senator Kuhl. She seems to be really focused on single payer and not willing to
yeah.
cooperate on this plan.
Yeah, which, you know, that's something, again, focusing on the communities of color that we work with, that's been a real heartbreaking kind of situation because we really do like single payer.
Me too.
And,
yes,
you know, that is our ideal.
Right.
And I think the camps are now divided into people who think if you make the system better as it is, it's gonna decrease the momentum for single payer. And mm-hmm. I think we should try to improve things, even if, you know, incrementalism is still better, I think.
I understand. Marty Martinez, great to see you. Thanks for joining
Thank
us.
You.
Here on the Peter B. Collins Show, that's Marty Martinez from the California Pan-Ethnic Health Network. We'll take a break and return. More coming up from Washington, D.C., here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. And my fellow Americans, there is a check in the mail. We are going to crank this economy up. And if you do your part, happy days are here again, because somewhere in this great country there's an HDTV with your name on it.
Start me up and make me shop. You just start me up. Grab anything you've got.
Tens of millions of Americans will have a check in the mail.
You make a grown man buy.
They really will.
You make a grown man buy. You make a grown man buy.
So many issues they just won't touch. But when it comes to free money, the only question is how much.
We have an opportunity to come together.
I'm ready to shop.
Decorating my new baby's room or vacation?
Come on, show us what you can buy. Show us what you can buy. We're buying oil and gasoline. Just send us money, even if it's from the Chinese.
We can't borrow our ways out of this problem.
There's a Walmart greeter. Thank you for your service. Start me up.
Who wouldn't like a check in the mail?
Is that a rebate in your pocket? Or are you just happy to be an American? Stop me up!
Thank you, thank you. Now this.
Reason number 22 to switch to Geico. We think renters are cool. Now, we don't know if you were born cool, or if it's just all the cool stuff you have in your apartment. The point is, if you want to protect your considerable coolness, ask Geico about renter's insurance. For as little as $12 a month, you can protect all the stuff you hold near and dear, including that combination flat-screen TV espresso machine. Now that is cool.
For a fast, easy rate quote on renter's insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
This is Dave.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We're originating from Washington, D.C. I'm Peter B. Collins here at the Families USA Health Action 2008 Conference. And we're joined by Dr. Richard Winder, past president of the American Cancer Society. Doctor, thanks for talking with us today.
I'm happy to be here.
One of my first questions is, many of us are aware that under the Bush administration, there's been a so-called war on science. And in particular, stem cell research has had, you know, major setbacks. States have had to take the lead. And I'm curious, from your perspective, has the Bush administration interfered at all with the science of cancer research?
I don't know what the administration has done directly. This I do know. The funding for research over the past few years has essentially stagnated, and in terms of real dollars has declined. It's a huge mistake because the progress we've made against many diseases, particularly in cancer, has been enormous, and it all stems back to research. So we need to make a commitment to start increasing that budget and, frankly, double it. And we need to be able to pursue those lines of research that show the greatest promise.
And it's always difficult to compete for those dollars and to try to say that one group of diseases is more important than another. But the president in the State of the Union message on Monday night is expected to propose doubling of our funding for AIDS programs overseas. Now, I'm certainly in favor of that, but at the same time, we don't appear to be giving the same amount of attention to domestic issues like cancer. And I wonder how you balance those issues.
Well, the world is shrinking. There's no doubt about it. We have an international program in the American Cancer Society to confront tobacco worldwide and to look at cancer. But there's simply no question that we are so far behind where we should be, given the dollars we're investing in healthcare in this nation. We need to find solutions here. There's the good news is that out of the crisis of our healthcare system, dialogue is emerging. We need to ensure that every individual has access to the full range of healthcare services, from prevention, early detection, treatment, end of life, and we need to start having dialogues to figure out how we're going to get there.
And do you have any criticisms of the priorities of the Bush administration where, you know, in a week we can come up with $150 billion in stimulus money, but we can't fund the state children's health insurance program at the expanded levels proposed? And again, as you pointed out, we've basically flatlined research dollars for critical diseases like cancer.
I think our criticism is of many forces in the country. There's a great deal of dollars that have been misinvested in health care. We're seeing dramatically rising health care costs with no good evidence of adequate return on our investment. So we need to invest more wisely in health care across the road. And that's going to take Republicans, and it's going to take Democrats, and it's going to take big business, and it's going to take small business, and it's going to take people who are unemployed, people who have great insurance, people who have poor insurance. That's a very complex issue. It's not simple, but we have to end hopelessness. This can be done. In Massachusetts, they put all those constituencies in a room, and you had people who were from big business, very Republican in their outlook, sitting next to people who were virtually felt that single government payment was the only way to provide health care. They came up with a way to take a stab at insuring everybody in Massachusetts. Now, I say take a stab at it. It's going to be a learning. It's not going to be perfect. Mm-hmm. There's going to need to be learning. I think if all we do is insure people and we don't change how we deliver health care in general, it won't be successful. We need to change both the infrastructure, the delivery, greater focus on primary care, greater focus on prevention and early detection. It's not going to just be enough to insure. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen unless there's a commitment to real change.
Yeah. What do you see as some of the real potential breakthroughs in cancer research right now?
I think there's a couple of areas. Where we've made the greatest strides in cancer, and a lot of people in the country don't understand that cancer death rates are coming down. And then, in fact, the last year for which we have statistics, not just the rate, but fewer people died of cancer than the year before. So a lot of we occasionally will hear, you know, we're not making any progress. Not true.
I think that's valuable because in my age group, I'm in my 50s. I'm encountering more and more people in my circle who are fighting cancer.
You know, I say, you know, we've already found many, many cures for cancer, but you have to find the cure one person at a time. A cure doesn't do you any good if you never got your colonoscopy. It doesn't do you any good if you don't get your PSA or a mammogram or a pap smear, or if you continue to smoke, or if you don't exercise and you eat unhealthy and are very overweight, which we're learning increasingly. That's one of the biggest advances we've had is the role that your body weight plays in cancer. So the key here is that we can and are making it, not just that we can, we are making a difference. Mm-hmm. So you need a clinician, you need to get the tests, you need to work on lifestyle, and here's the good news. If you're diagnosed with cancer today, your odds of surviving that cancer are dramatically better. 5-year survival for virtually every type of cancer longer today than it was 10 years ago, and far more people being cured of almost every kind of cancer than were true years ago. Mm-hmm. Finally, the therapies that we have, and this addresses specifically what's some of the most recent things. Used to be people heard the word chemotherapy and it was all like, you know, that's worse than the disease. We have therapies now that target the disease specifically, much better tolerated. We've converted this short war of cancer, that you either win or lose it within a few months, into a long-term chronic siege that goes over many years.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Rich Wender, past president of the American Cancer Society, with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Now, what is the Cancer Society's role? How do you view your mission in the healthcare reform in this country?
We launched a campaign a few months ago, devoted our entire paid advertising budget, just under 2% of our total budget, to raising awareness about our healthcare crisis and inadequate access to care. So people saw our ads on TV, they saw them in major national magazines, they heard them on the radio, just telling the story through the cancer lens. We showed the story of two women, one uninsured, one underinsured, who've been affected by cancer and their inability to pay for that care. I think people look at those ads and they say, well, everybody deserves the right to be treated for cancer if they're affected. Because people are so sensitive around this disease, everyone's been affected by it, we're in that unique position to really get momentum. People want everyone to have the opportunity to prevent cancer or treat it when they're diagnosed. So we're serving as a catalyst. We're trying to bring as many partners to the table as we can. We want every candidate to be commenting on meaningful healthcare reform at the state level, at the federal level. We want every citizen to be expecting that of their elected leadership, and we want big business, small business, and everyone on board.
The business part is, I think, critical here because the costs have escalated, and as Senator Daschle pointed out in his talk today, the number of people insured through their employers has been dropping dramatically, particularly small business workers. And how are we going to reverse this? It's been a hidden tax increase because we have shifted so much of the burden onto the worker and his or her family, mm-hmm. With the costs escalating at the same time. And this is a cycle that cannot go on. We can't sustain it.
Naive approaches to healthcare crisis won't work. We're ready for the long haul. And cost is very much at the center of it. How do you get control of cost? You have to get control on cost by changing where the incentives are in healthcare delivery. We have to shift the incentives away from high technology, end of life, high disease care to prevention, early detection, primary care based delivery, and reliance on high quality evidence of what really works. It can be done. It's going to be hard work.
Dr. Wender, thank you very much for joining us today. Pleasure talking with you.
Thanks so much.
Dr. Rich Wender, former president of the American Cancer Society, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're live in Washington, D.C. It's 42 minutes past the hour. And coming up shortly, we're not sure exactly what's going to happen next. We do know that over the next hour, you will hear Celinda Lake, the Democratic pollster, former Senate Democratic Majority Leader Tom Daschle. And in particular, we got Senator Daschle to talk about health care, but also about the Senate action regarding the FISA law. And if you're a regular listener to this program, you know that I'm very concerned that the Senate action, the Rockefeller bill, which includes immunity for the phone companies. They call it immunity, and I call it amnesty. Because the phone companies collaborated with the Bush administration to break the law to spy on Americans in violation of the FISA law. And the Senate appears to be intent on legalizing those actions and giving immunity or amnesty to the telephone companies. And Senator Daschle and I don't agree on that. You'll hear the exchange coming up next hour. I've got a couple of minutes here, so if you'd like to call in, you can dial me up toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And for some reason, our Internet connection isn't working here, so, Brian, if you get a caller or two, just whisper it in my ear, and we'll talk to you about whatever is on your minds. Maybe it's the FISA law. Maybe it's health care issues. Maybe it is the stimulus package. All of a sudden, they found $150 billion to throw at American consumers and the economy. And I have mixed feelings about that. I certainly think there are better ways that we could fix the fundamentals in our economy. But that's what the administration chose to do. And the Democrats didn't push very hard, in my opinion, for extension of unemployment benefits and some other matters like COBRA that might really help working families in this country. And as far as I know, there is no forbearance for mortgages that are threatened by foreclosure due to the escalating rates. So it's a mixed bag. And again, it's hard to oppose giving taxpayers their own money, but it runs up the deficit. And it may not actually have the desired effect because the history of these kinds of stimulation indicates that often they come a little bit late in the game. Anthony and Carmel, thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter B. I was wanting to ask about the Feinstein Amendment. When I was reading it, it didn't seem to make a lot of sense to me, to the Rockefeller the amnesty bill for the telecoms.
Yeah, I read two lines about it in the Washington Post today, so in deference to Senator Feinstein, with whom I often disagree, I will just say that I've read two lines about it. The two lines indicated that she wants to amend the Rockefeller bill to require the FISA court, which of course meets in secret and never produces any public documents, so there's no external oversight available. She Sure. wants them to rule on any of these cases involving the phone companies. And the point I raised with Senator Daschle today that you'll hear at the top of next hour is that he supports immunity for the phone companies. He says, gee, you know, they just did what the government asked them to do. But the net effect of this is that we will never know the extent to which our government eavesdropped on American citizens. Because what really will happen if the Rockefeller bill passes in its current form is it will quash the lawsuits that have been in process before Judge Vaughn Walker in San Francisco related to the wiretapping of Americans, intercepts of our emails without a court order. And so I believe
several
what finds...
Several months before 9/11.
Pardon me?
It had occurred several months before 9/11 occurred.
That is a very important point, Anthony. And in most media accounts, they buzz right past that and say that the spying on Americans, the domestic surveillance, occurred as a result of 9/11. And we know that the letters went out to Quest and other phone companies in February of 2001.
Disappointing.
It certainly is, yeah. Well, thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate your comments, Anthony.
You bet. Thank you.
We're going to take a break here and return for more action here in Washington, D.C. It's Families USA and Health Action 2008. 47 minutes past the hour, you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Good morning, I'm Erica Martin. Let's take a look at KRXA traffic. We've got better news for Southern California. Highway 5 has been reopened in both directions over the Grapevine. However, if you're traveling today or this weekend, expect delays. You'll have some CHP escorts. Meanwhile, closer to home in Castroville, Highway 183 at Blackie Road, still some fallen trees in the highway. And a warning, of course, take it extra slow today in the Santa Cruz Mountains. We've got rain, very heavy rain at both directions in the Summit area. KRXA traffic is thanks to Macy's. Check out this weekend where the clearance savings just keep getting better. Save on fashions and accessories for him, for her, and for the home. Again, KRXA weather, we do have rain in the forecast with snow at the higher elevations. Let's check those current temperatures around the Monterey Bay. It's 52 degrees in Salinas. It is raining in Santa Cruz at 51 degrees, and it is 48 degrees right here in Monterey. Stay tuned for the KRXA Morning Show with Hal Ginsberg.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a killer affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a Bible solution. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
I love coffee, I love tea. That's why Coffeetopia's the place for me. Coffee and tea, the honey and me. At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Coffeetopia at 1723 Mission Street and 3701 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz offers the finest in handcrafted espresso drinks, whether it's a traditional Italian-style cappuccino or a sweet caramel macchiato. We offer a range of full-leaf teas, a choice of chais, including our new Zawadi African chai, and organic coffees. Coffeetopia also carries local baked goods fresh daily, including French-style pastries. Or try a toasted bagel with one of our exclusive non-dairy bagel spreads, either garlic dill or smoked tofu. Coffeetopia, Santa Cruz's oldest internet cafe, offers both free wireless and computer terminals for those who need them. Coffeetopia. Remember, we're here to help.
At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Minutes in front of the hour. I'm Peter B. Collins, live from Washington, D.C., yeah, the place where you send all your tax dollars, and we're very grateful for it. We're at the Families USA Conference here at the Mayflower Hotel. As we mentioned, former Senator Tom Daschle will lead off next hour. We recorded an interview with him earlier today, and some differences that we had on both health care and the FISA bill that we were just discussing, you will hear aired out. Also next hour, Andrea Batista Schlesinger from the Drum Major Institute in New York will be with us, and super pollster Celinda Lake, who has some interesting comments about New Hampshire and how the polls failed to predict the election outcome, at least the way the votes were tabulated, and some other issues, too. So that's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Bill Remack joins us here. He's from the San Francisco Bay Area, and I met Bill yesterday, and we started talking, and I just had to invite you on the show because I think people need to know what you're up to. Bill, welcome.
Thank you.
Oh, I got to turn your microphone on. There you go.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I'm honored to be here, and I've got to tell you, it's nice to be here and have somebody from the Bay Area right here.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Now, Bill, you've had a lot of healthcare challenges in your life, and I think you told me yesterday that you've run up bills of more than $2.5 million.
That's right.
To stay alive.
You're right.
Give us a quick litany of what you've been through, maybe the last 10 years.
Well, as I mentioned to you yesterday, I grew up in Marin, and when I was 14, I was rushed to the hospital and diagnosed with chronic liver disease.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an acute episode, and I was hospitalized at Kaiser. And they did a diagnosis, and I'm 54 now, so I've had it now for 40 years.
Wow.
And it turned out to be chronic liver disease. 10 years ago, they found I had liver cancer, and I had a liver transplant. And matter of fact, last year that liver failed, mm-hmm. and I had to have another liver transplant.
So you're on your third liver.
I'm on my third liver. That's mm-hmm. right. The one I was born with, and I've had two since.
Wow. And how's the newest one working out?
It's working out very well.
No rejection?
No rejection. I'm healthy as a horse.
Uh-huh.
And I'm back, involved with a lot of community activities and keeping fit and working out 3 days a week and having a good time enjoying life. My children are absolutely delighted, and my daughter is actually expecting twins, so I'm going to be a grandfather. So
holy
there you go.
And you also are going to undertake a very exciting but experimental procedure with stem cells.
That's correct. I was several years ago involved with campaigning for Proposition 81. 71.
Stem cell.
Mm-hmm. It got approved, and we now have an Institute for Regenerative Medicine for California, and there's $3 billion, which will be allocated for over the next 10 years for research in stem cells.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things they have found out is by doing a islet cell transplant, they can practically control or even cure diabetes. Now, I'm type 2 diabetes. The protocol has actually only been approved for type 1 diabetes, but mm-hmm. I've been given special permission and application from the Federal Food and Drug Administration
mm-hmm.
to apply for an exemption to that protocol and receive an islet cell transplant at UCSF.
Now, I have not yet heard, you're the first to tell me, of an eyelid as the source of a stem cell.
Mm-hmm.
I had understood that aside from the embryonic sources,
mm-hmm.
that the olfactories, the scent glands in the nose, were being carefully studied
mm-hmm.
as a possible way to pull stem cells that could then be put into diseased organs, for example,
mm-hmm.
and help replicate healthy cells and replace the bad ones.
Right. Now, these cells come from the pancreas, and the cells, the islet cells, I-S-L-E-T, are processed from the pancreas and then injected into the liver, and this should jumpstart the whole process of the natural insulin production
mm-hmm.
In my body.
Now, in addition to all this, Bill, you are a forensic medical technician. Is that the right
correct.
Term?
That's correct. I'm a medical technologist.
Uh-huh.
And I went to school first at College of Marin, then I went to San Francisco State, and then I attended UCSF.
Mm-hmm.
And I also attended a foreign university. And
well, don't you know way too much?
I've been on both sides. I've been on both sides of the fence. And that's how I can.
I mean, when you're, for example, examining a cadaver, do you ever kind of look at the liver and say, I wonder if this one's better than mine?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I've done quite a few autopsies, and I've got to tell you that, I've seen liver damage up close. In fact, I've seen both livers that were removed from me in my transplants.
Mm-hmm.
And that was quite an interesting thing to see and see the damage that had occurred.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, it's very educational.
Bill Remack with us. R-E-M-A-K is how he spells his name. We're here live in Washington, D.C. Bill, you also told me about the FAIR Foundation. And this is a very interesting look at the way our health care dollars are mm-hmm. allocated. And most people probably don't sit back and say, gosh, are we spending enough on Parkinson's? And, you know, what's the reference point that would allow us to say, oh, it's fair to spend this much on hepatitis C and this much on diabetes? But one of the things that you gave me here is a chart, and people can find this on your website, and that is FAIR Foundation, I'm sorry.
FAIRfoundation.org.
Oh, FAIRfoundation.org, okay. Mm-hmm. And so, for example, you point out that using 2006 numbers, HIV/AIDS got about $3,000 per patient allocated from federal funds. Is this simply NIH or all federal funds?
NIH.
Okay. And that, for example, hepatitis C only got $25 and hepatitis B $32. And so I don't imagine that you're presenting this as a way of saying, gosh, we're spending too much on HIV/AIDS. but you're probably saying that we need to spend more on these other disease categories.
Absolutely. The whole idea, really, in putting out these numbers is to indicate that we would like to see the distribution occur to the diseases which is causing the most suffering and the most death.
Mm-hmm.
So if you base it on the conditions that are most prevalent in our society, you'll find that we need to allocate more money towards those diseases. We're not trying to steal from one disease to pay for another.
So it's at fairfoundation.org.
That's great.
People can take a look for themselves. Bill, thanks for coming on the show. It's a real pleasure to meet you.
Thank you.
You're an asset to the Bay Area, and I wish you the best with the stem cells.
Thank you very much.
Report back to me, will you?
I certainly will.
All right.
All right.
Coming up next, Senator Tom Daschle. In an interview recorded earlier today, from Washington, D.C., I'm Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
If you will stand with me tomorrow, I will stand with you every single day. We will make pride and progress the hallmark of America.
Hillary Clinton campaigning in South Carolina, where she's battling Barack Obama and John Edwards in tomorrow's Democratic primary. Obama's already claiming victory.
I will not just win this Saturday. I will not just win the Democratic nomination. I will not just win the general election, but instead, you and I, we are going to march into the future. We are going to transform this country. We are going to change the world.
After the Clinton-Obama battle in Monday night's debate, Edwards offers himself as a unifier.
It's that kind of personal attack and petty sniping that actually causes people to be turned off to politics. We want to excite people about voting, about participating.
In Florida, where the Republicans have a primary on Tuesday, John McCain picked up the endorsement of Cuban-born Senator Mel Martinez, a blow to Rudy Giuliani, who's been counting on the Cuban-American community to help him win. Western intelligence is searching frantically for suspected terrorists who might be planning suicide bombings in Britain, France, Germany, and Portugal. This after the discovery of a plot to bomb the Barcelona subway. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has more.
The Attorney General Michael Mukasey chatted with reporters, and when asked about the arrest of 14 alleged Islamic radicals with explosives in Spain, Mukasey said, "I am very concerned about that, about Al-Qaeda and about our national security." Though he refused to say if the Spanish plot had any U.S. connection, a reporter asked, on a scale of 1 to 10, "How concerned are you?" The Attorney General said, 11.
The war in Iraq, it seems, was a tragic misunderstanding. On 60 Minutes this Sunday, CBS News correspondent Scott Pelley talks to the man who interrogated Saddam Hussein.
Saddam told the FBI agent George Pirro that it was vital that he maintain the pretense that he had weapons of mass destruction because he was always afraid of an invasion from neighboring Iran. Saddam also said that he believed that the fact that he had weapons of mass destruction back in 1991 was the reason the United States did not go all the way to Baghdad when it kicked Saddam out of Kuwait.
Agent Pirro, who speaks fluent Arabic, says Saddam refused to admit he had no WMDs because he didn't think the United States would actually lead an invasion. The big Monte Carlo Hotel Casino on the Las Vegas Strip had to be evacuated today when fire broke out on the roof, apparently touched off by a welder.
We have reports of 13 minor injuries. They're all smoke inhalation. It's 5 guests and 8 engineers.
Fire Chief Steve Smith. President Bush made a speech today urging Congress not to delay Senate passage of the economic stimulus package. Some Senate Democrats say they'll try to add more provisions. On Wall Street, the Dow finished lower, down 171 points to 12,207. This is CBS News.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents A Word from Your Tires.
We, your tires, have a list of demands.
A list of demands?
Yes, we demand that you take us to a Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer.
Well, I always go to a Ford or Lincoln.
At once. No appointment is necessary.
All right.
We further demand that once at the Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer, Ford trained service experts inspect us, check our inflation, and rotate us.
Hey, don't Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealers have a tire price guarantee?
Possibly.
Sure, they'll beat anyone's price on the name brand tires they sell, right?
Look, never mind that.
So, if I need to replace you...
Whoa. Replace?
I could do it right there at a great price. Excellent. Okay, back to your demands.
Well, it was really more of a suggestion than a demand.
Thought so.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service, only at your dealership. Come in, keep going. Call 1-877-310-3673 or see a participating dealership for details through 12-3108.
Problems are piling on for Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick, who's been accused of having an affair with his female chief of staff. Now he could face perjury charges for denying it under oath.
The Wayne County Prosecutor's Office will conduct an independent investigation that will be fair, impartial, and thorough.
That's Prosecutor Kim Worthy. The married mayor and his aide, Christine Beatty, testified in court that they did not have a physical relationship in 2002 and 2003, but the Detroit Free Press reports they exchanged steamy text messages suggesting they were intimate during that period. If charged and convicted, Kilpatrick could get up to 15 years in prison and would be removed from office. For $25,000, venture capitalist Brad Feld bought the naming rights to a men's room at the University of Colorado. A plaque outside bears his name and his advice. The best ideas often come at inconvenient times. Don't ever close your mind to them. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Ever wonder when buying a used car if you're just buying a used problem? Not if it's a Honda-certified used car. They're well-maintained, late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by a 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty from the original in-service date and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. Plus, now you can get low APR financing on all certified used Honda models. It may be used, but it's still a Honda. Problem solved.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
If I eat something spicy, I'll go to bed at 9. Because I know heartburn's going to hit me in the middle of the night. After a while, friends just stop calling.
Heartburn isn't funny. That's why Zantac is serious. Just one pill relieves your toughest heartburn all day or all night. So the suffering stops and life starts. Heartburn? Attack it. Zantac. Use as directed.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
We're live in Washington, D.C., Families USA's Health Action 2008 Conference. I'm Peter B. Collins, and we're joined by the Senate's former Majority Leader, Tom Daschle, who is now a very senior fellow at the Center for American Progress here in Washington. Senator, welcome.
Thanks, Peter. Good to be here.
You gave a powerful PowerPoint presentation this morning. Can I get you to take a pledge right here, right now, that you won't turn it into a full-length feature film like Al Gore?
Well, you know, if I could win the Nobel Peace Prize with it, I might try. But I doubt that that's in the offing. So I think you can get that pledge.
You gave us a lot of good information. If you could, for our listeners, just give us a quick sketch of what you showed the attendees here at the conference today about the dramatic escalation in health care costs, the cost of health insurance, the number of uninsured, and what a great deal the Clinton health care reform was back in the early 90s.
Well, that's a good question. There's a lot to talk about in providing you the answer. I would say first and foremost that we have three categories of challenges in our healthcare system: cost, access, and quality. They're all interrelated. Cost affects access. Access affects quality, and we have to understand that is the essence of why we need comprehensive healthcare reform. You can't just isolate one of those categories of problems and address it successfully. So we have to devise a system that changes the infrastructure, that recognizes the importance of dealing with these issues, and to break some of the myths that we're living under today. One, that we have the best healthcare system in the world. It's far from the truth. We spend more than anybody else. We come in 35th in outcomes, 31st in life expectancy. We've got to change. We just don't have the quality. 98,000 people give their lives every year to medical mistakes. 300 million medical mistakes were made last year alone. So that's a quality issue that can be addressed, and we can do it if we can pass meaningful reform.
Mm-hmm. Quality, cost, and access, those are the three cornerstones as you analyze the situation. And you talk about how they are interrelated. And, for example, you, among others, point out that there are huge overhead costs, particularly in medical record keeping. We do have some privacy concerns about putting all that stuff online. At the same time, we see that Medicare and VA have tremendous efficiencies compared to the private sector delivery of the same services.
Well, the administrative cost for Medicare is about 4%. The overall administrative cost in our healthcare system is 25%. One out of every $4 goes to administration. What a gross, inefficient system that is, and the amount of cost dedicated to that inefficiency continues to mount every year.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it affects quality because that's where a lot of the mistakes are made. People find that illegible comments about health care and about prescriptions are recreated and then reprocessed all the way through the system, and so you compound the medical problems we have in errors in part because we have a paper-driven system today.
Mm-hmm. One of your comments that really struck me is that it's no longer possible to proceed with incremental change. We need dramatic overhaul of the healthcare system, the insurance system, and the delivery of healthcare services. Does that go all the way to single payer, in your view?
Well, I think if we were to start all over and begin with a new infrastructure from the very start, I think a single-payer system would by far be the most efficient. We've seen that already with Medicare in this country. 45% of all Americans get their health care from a government-sponsored plan, including Medicare. But we've seen it in other countries as well. Single-payer systems are the most efficient. They're not always the most user-friendly systems, but nonetheless, they are the most efficient, and they bring about by far the best results.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to happen in this country. So I think it would be foolish for us to spend a lot of time doing what I think we oftentimes do too much of, make the perfect the enemy of the good.
I understand that, but at the same time, Senator, don't we really have to come to grips with what I consider to be the fact that the for-profit delivery of health care has proven to be a failure? We can't control the costs. We can't control the players. And it really seems to me that we have to come to terms with that and face down the lobbyists. And you had Harry and Louise updated in your presentation this morning. We know right around the corner on K Street, they've got actors and actresses auditioning for the next Harry and Louise spot. But don't we have to face that down and make the dramatic change that you called for?
Well, I think we have to face it down. We have to recognize that there really is far too much profit in certain sectors of our health economy today that have to be addressed. I mean, that's why we're spending $7,500 per capita, is that there are those who are making vastly too much in profit as at the expense of those who can't even access the system at all.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to change that. In my presentation, what I came up with was a model that I think has worked fairly effectively in our banking system, a Federal Reserve model that allows an autonomous, independent board to make the tough decisions on cost, access, and quality, that can make them in a timely and efficient way, and that would allow us the real the real chance for the first time to look at this outside of a political context.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way we can do this, to delegate that responsibility and not require the specificity in decision-making that oftentimes we've relied on in Congress with more and more failure.
Senator Tom Daschle with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. But, Senator, I can already, in my mind, hear the response from business interests and the right, which will be, you know, this is another bureaucracy, a layer of government. Washington's going to make decisions about your health care. Don't we really need to simplify this and really ensure access, declare that health care is a right, and tell me that I can choose my own doctor? Isn't that what the average consumer wants out of all this?
I think that's pretty much what, it's obviously it's a lot more complicated than just that, but that's a good place to go. But your question is, it goes to the heart of one of the things that I think we've got to do if we're going to be successful with health reform. We have to put defenders on the status quo on the defensive for the first time. It's always been advocates of health care reform who have been on the defensive in the past. We've got to turn the tables. We've got to say to each and every one of those who are talking about socialized medicine or rationing or government control to explain why they are satisfied with the current system, to apologize basically for what the system has done to the American people today. I think if we do that, we win the argument, and ultimately we pass meaningful reform.
Senator Tom Daschle with us. If I may, just on another issue, you're no longer in the Senate, and I understand that, but I'm very troubled that your colleagues appear ready to paper over the intentional lawbreaking of the Bush administration, lawbreaking of the FISA law. And as this is described as updating the FISA law, they are trading away important protections for American citizens, and they're offering what I call amnesty to telephone companies that collaborated with the Bush administration on this illegal surveillance. What's your position on that, and do you agree, for example, with Senator Rockefeller's bill?
I actually do, Peter. I've been in this position for a long time now. I think it's so critical that we go back to the real source of the problem. The real source of the problem is the FISA law as it's currently written. One of the requirements of the FISA law was that we get court intervention and a court warrant each and every time we find it a requirement for national security purposes to wiretap. Well, that law ought to be required. That ought to be in place. But to give this blanket immunity to the government to wiretap and to violate the rights of citizens and their privacy today is where I think the problem lies. Once the government tells an entity that they have to comply, that they have to be part of some larger effort to defend this country, then I don't blame the company. I blame the government. First, for not getting the warrant, and for secondly, making these charges and these demands without the kind of support, in fact, that they have to have.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't fault the telephone companies as much as I fault the Bush administration and the Congress for thwarting the effort of the intent of the FISA law in the first place.
I understand that, but the net effect will be ending any lawsuits that would really help us understand the extent of the surveillance.
Well, that's
and the government will continue to claim the state secret privilege, and it locks it up for the Bush administration.
Well, that's another issue that I don't think will be addressed. I don't think the panacea is to put the onus of responsibility on the telephone companies, again, who are being demanded, who are being told by the government to comply. I mean, they're in a very tough position. They comply and we get sued. They don't comply and they get sued.
Mm-hmm.
So they ask, where do we go? I mean, I think it's a legitimate concern, and I'm sympathetic to that dilemma. We've got to go to the heart of what the problem is, and the heart of what the problem is that this administration has stomped on constitutional rules of law, including torture, including habeas corpus,
mm-hmm.
including wiretapping, including rendition, and those kinds of things are what have to be stopped. We have to restore the rule of law and constitutional principles in this country, and that has to happen with the next administration. It won't happen with this one.
Senator Tom Daschle, thank you very much.
My pleasure, Peter.
Great to talk with you.
Thank you.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Hi, I'm J.R. Medina, owner of PG Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue in Pacific Grove. My family and I are proud to serve the finest selection of beer, wine, liquor, and non-alcoholic beverages in the Monterey area. Our store is evolving beyond adult and soft drinks. We serve freshly brewed Acme coffee, the finest breakfast burritos, and now Nathan's hot dogs. We're open daily. Come by and check out the big, big selection and low, low prices at PG Liquors. That's PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Hey, this is Larry from Acme Coffee, and if, like me, you own a business and are tired of waiting through aggressive sales reps pushing you to advertise on mediocre network TV stations or stale radio broadcasters, contact KRXA 540 sales manager Larry Rathall at 394-5792. AM 540's committed listener base will help you grow your business. I know, because they're helping me grow mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
We have a real problem in Monterey County at this hour. Kachunga Road at Tassajara Road. We have a large tree that's down that's blocking the road. And we have the fire crews on the scene there. And the CHP is en route as well. Traffic collision to report in Monterey. This is northbound 101 just north of Front Street. This is a solo vehicle crash. The vehicle is in the center divide. Heading up to the Santa Cruz area, northbound State Route 1, just north of Morrissey Boulevard, a drain is clogged and it is now flooding the road. We have 1 inch of water across the off-ramp lane there. And this traffic report is brought to you by Carfax. Was that car you're buying wrecked in an accident or major highway? Half the cars salvaged in city are rebuilt and resold. Ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report or go to Carfax.com. I'm Eric Brenner on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B., humbly serving you from Washington, D.C. We're in the final hours of the healthcare conference sponsored by Families USA, and we're here on Radio Row. Coming up shortly, you're going to hear Andrea Batista Schlesinger. She's going to react to the stimulus package from the point of view of middle-class working families. And to round out the hour, Celinda Lake, a leading Democratic pollster, who has some interesting comments on the anomalies in New Hampshire and polling in general in this exciting political year. Joining me now is Christy Blakely. She's executive coordinator of Family Voices Colorado. And she has been active on healthcare issues for many years. She sits on a Blue Ribbon Health Commission in Colorado called the 208 Commission. And she also spent time advocating for parents and families related to access to health care, Medicaid, and things of that nature. And she's the mother of two grown daughters, one of whom has quadriplegic cerebral palsy. So you have been dealing with these issues for 25-plus years.
That's correct. I was a teacher in special ed before I had my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So I got lucky and had my own. And I've learned a great deal from her, and in that went into health policy.
Mm-hmm. And your colleague, Kelly Stallman, was with us on the program yesterday. And what's remarkable, we've been talking for 5 or 10 minutes now, and you approach these issues with, I don't know what to describe it as, because you don't feel sorry for yourself. You don't indicate any kind of desire for sympathy from others. You're really working hard to navigate the system and to share what you learn with people who have similar situations.
That's my goal. As I take on the challenges, I always put myself in the shoes of somebody else that wouldn't be as fortunate, that would be a single parent or wouldn't have discretionary income that I'm fortunate to have. So when other families are struggling, I want to help them. I want to make it easier for them as others have the same situations, a child with disabilities or a child with illness.
It's almost a cliche, but when a child is born, people say, well, there's no manual. And you can read self-help books, and you can ask your parents, you can ask your peers, but a lot of it you have to learn on your own. Mm-hmm. In particular, for children with disabilities, there's no manual.
No.
And it's a scary process, particularly when the issues are exhibited at birth or close to that time.
It's very scary, and families are going blind, trying to figure out what to do next or who should they call. And there's no one that tells them, oh, you know, call this person and then this person. And so most of the calls that we take at Family Voices Colorado are, you know, people that have called other people 5 and 6 times.
Mm-hmm.
And finally nobody had the answer and they call us. And normally they're frustrated to tears, literally. And we help them figure out what the systems are that they should be accessing.
Can I guess that one of the things that you offer people is the simple confirmation that they are not alone? They're not the first to grapple with these problems.
You've got it. That's exactly what we do. That is the ability as a parent to say, it's okay, it is as tough as you think it is, but you aren't alone, and we're going to help you get through it. And oftentimes it's a step-by-step process.
What's the 208 Commission in Colorado?
The 208 Commission was 27 members. We are just going to present our report to the governor this next week. It was an appointed position to come up with a health care reform package for the state of Colorado.
Mm-hmm. How'd you do?
A lot of hours with a lot of people that had very differing opinions. But we were able to come up with consensus and a reform package that includes an insurance mandate, which couple that with an affordability component.
Mm-hmm.
We're very excited that we were able to, in a year's time, come up with a plan that should put a dent in the 880,000 people that are uninsured in Colorado.
Mm-hmm. You say a dent. How far of a dent can you get? Most of them, 80%? What do you think?
It's about 80%. There's a percentage of population that just will never come to insurance.
Yeah. Those are the mountain men and girls?
You know, actually, a lot of the homeless folks just are not going to utilize health insurance no matter what we do.
Yeah.
But in Colorado, we have a lot of 20-somethings that if it's between a snowboard ticket and health care, they'll pick the snowboard ticket. And
yeah.
So we really need to get those healthy-somethings into the distribution pool for insurance. But at the same time, we need to make it affordable. I think it's atrocious that we've got families spending $12,000 a year on health insurance and deciding whether to have health insurance or feed their family.
That's one of the issues in California. It's still unresolved because the plan wants to expand coverage, but affordability is the other key component there.
That's correct.
And as costs keep escalating, if there is no way of reining those in, then it's just kind of an open invitation to exploitation, where you're requiring people to have health insurance, but the cost will continue to go up kind of like these mortgages.
That's exactly what's going on. And the other two pieces that are really important are the guarantee issue, the ability to know that you're going to get something, because so many times we've got families that have pre-existing conditions, especially with children with special needs. Mm-hmm. We have to make sure that they're going to get a package that's workable for their family. And then the other piece is being better consumers of health care. Mm-hmm. And by having a basic package that you know you can compare apples to apples, will help everyone access health insurance.
Christy, is there a website at Family Voices Colorado?
Absolutely. Family Voices National is www.familyvoices.org. And you'll see the map of the United States. You click on that and click on California, and you'll be able to find your Family Voices person, or if you're in another state, that's how you'll get a hold of your Family Voices coordinator in your state.
Great. Thanks a lot for joining us. Great to meet you.
Thank you very much.
Christy Blakely from Family Voices Colorado. I want to thank Brian Urban in San Francisco, Katrina Real here in Washington, and everybody who helped make this live broadcast from Washington possible. As we mentioned, coming up, we're going to hear from Andrea Batista Schlesinger of the Drum Major Institute, and Democratic pollster Celinda Lake will join us a little bit later this hour, too. Tell me what you think of the show. Drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. More coming up. Visit our website, too, to grab a podcast or share it with a friend. That's www.peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, Jim Ross, president of National Real Estate Academy, will be hosting the show. Jim and his team had an incredibly successful year in 2007 in a very tough real estate market. Hear why their proven track record of finding cost-effective real estate investments make their investors so successful. That's this Sunday at 10 a.m., Rock Roller Real Estate. For more information, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
At Homescapes Carmel, it's important to us that we appeal to both the senses and the sensibilities of our customers. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I invite you to explore, touch, and discover all the unique items we have at Homescapes in downtown Carmel. For importers like us, nothing beats finding eclectic and worldly things in their native lands and then bringing them home to Carmel by the sea. Homescapes Carmel is on the corner of 7th and Dolores, and as soon as you walk through the doors, you'll share in the thrill of discovery. We have a wide range of furnishings and accessories that exemplify wabi-sabi, celebrating the beauty, functionality, and morality of living green. At Homescapes Carmel, we're dedicated to our customers, to our employees, and to our community. We look forward to working with you to make your home the perfect blend of comfort, beauty, and individuality. Please stop by Homescapes Carmel on 7th and Dolores. We are open 7 days a week from 10 to 6. You can call us at 831-624-6499 or check us out at homescapescarmel.com.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Giuliani says he was with rescuers at the debris pile.
I was at ground zero as often, if not more than most of the workers. But I was exposed to exactly the same things they were exposed to. So, in that sense, I'm one of them.
There must be public funding for abortions for poor women. We cannot deny any woman the right to make her own decision about abortion because she lacks resources.
And the reality is, if we just look at Bernard Kerik's service as police commissioner, he's an excellent police commissioner.
I guess Mitt Romney would rather keep people out of college so they can keep working on his lawn.
I believe that abortion should be safe and legal in this country. I believe that since Roe v. Wade has been the law for 20 years, that we should sustain and support it.
What's your position on abortion?
I'm pro-life.
Well, I found a way to get those folks insured in our state with private insurance, not government insurance. But the Democrats' view is, oh no, if there's a problem with something, like, let's have the government take it over.
Here on Radio Row at the Families USA Health Action 2008. I'm Peter B. Collins, and it's always a pleasure to talk with Andrea Battista Schlesinger from the Drum Major Institute in New York. Hello, Andrea.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Are you the youngest person ever to be named to the board of The Nation magazine?
Wow, you're embarrassing me.
Not at all. I'm very proud that it's not just a bunch of blue hair, you know, 60 liberals.
And you look at The Nation masthead. That's very...
Well, I've been a subscriber for over 30 years.
I don't know, but I have to tell you, it's so much fun.
Uh-huh.
It really is an honor to be in the room with these folks. And, you know, I mean, every once in a while I try to remind them that their shared historical assumptions are not necessarily shared by all, so sometimes a little explanation is useful. But I think the spirit of the magazine is definitely towards that kind of explanation and engagement. So, but it's fun to be in that room. It's a kick.
Good. Well,
when the premier said to me, you know.
When I saw that you were named to the board, I just said, that is great, because you offer a perspective. The work that you do, I think, is very important to the progressive community. And I view The Nation as, the weekly that really helps us focus on progressive issues and positions and identify the people who are leading a given charge.
Well, thanks. And in The Nation, like, your show has been so good to us in terms of giving us a bigger, microphone for the work. Because, as you know, they're... The mainstream media, when it comes to a discussion, especially from a progressive viewpoint of public policy, is limiting. It's much more about the horse race.
Yeah. While we're here in D.C., in rapid-fire bipartisan government action, they found $150 billion to throw at U.S. consumers to try to stimulate the economy. I'm not really opposed to it, but, you know, it's not paid for. It's not really budgeted. It's going to aggravate the deficit. I'm not sure it'll have the impact that they desire. However, they did include a $300 tax credit for families that didn't pay income tax last year. That's a major concession from the Bushies. And, you know, overall, this may have some desired value. But if you had been in the room helping design this stimulus package...
What makes you think we weren't in the room? Okay, we weren't in the room. That's true.
Particularly focused on middle-class working families in this country, what would you have advocated for?
Well, one, an expansion of unemployment benefits. And, you know, right now they're taking that off the table, I guess, on the bargaining table. Some things were left, some things were taken off. The reason behind those decisions not completely clear, except that perhaps one side didn't want to give too much.
Mm-hmm.
But when people lose their jobs and you give them 26 weeks of unemployment insurance, you can't expect a household to be able to survive. You know, with recessions come significant job loss. Certainly our last one did, as well as the jobless recovery that succeeded it. So, I think we're going to have a problem with local economies if we don't figure out lengthen the period of time in which people are eligible for unemployment benefits. So I would have left that on the table. I think, giving money, of course, to people whether or not they pay income tax is important because, you know, there's a broader question here. How do you create a fiscal policy that actually strengthens local economies?
Mm-hmm.
You don't do that with what they still left on the table, which are these, you know, kind of vaguely described business incentives. You know, I mean, the best way to do business investment is to ensure that people can keep their families going and that those people can access higher education and that we can keep a cycle of entrepreneurship going. If that's your end goal, you don't do it with these, vague business incentive taxes that are really just a way of saying it's not all bad.
Right.
You know, don't leave me here. But I got us into a big mess, and I got to do something to get us out.
Well, I'm a small business owner, and accelerated appreciation doesn't hurt, but, you know, it's a quarter in my pocket at the end of the year, unless I decide to buy a bunch of new equipment, in which case, you know, it might incentivize me a little bit. But we're here focused on health care, and, you know, what if this stimulus package had, for example, helped people who are on COBRA, who are on that bridge after losing a job or losing coverage and haven't found their next coverage?
Sure.
You know, that's an area where I think we could really help families. But, you know, given the way this has been cobbled together in such a hurry, I don't think they looked at deeper issues. Also, it's a Band-Aid on the longer-term problems of the way the Bush administration has mismanaged the economy, deficits, trade deficit, the weaker dollar, the continuing offshore shipment of our jobs. And the Democrats aren't addressing that I see.
Well, it's a Band-Aid on top of a wound that they insist on continuing to dig into. I mean, the president is still going to talk about making, you know, his 01 and 03 tax cuts permanent. So, you know, if the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, then obviously we're dealing with insanity here. You know, but this is an opportunity to have a real discussion about the kinds of policies that work and the kind that don't. And, I don't know that the Democrats in that moment could have led that discussion.
Mm-hmm.
I think, honestly, that, you know, getting to this point is a positive step for us, and obviously for working families. But there is a broader conversation that we need to have about tax policy, about the impact of tax policy on our local economies. You know, there's some discussion about, you know, why not give direct aid to state governments who are now going to turn to one of the institutions that they have direct control over. Very few: healthcare and higher education. And we've already seen how public college tuition has skyrocketed. There are some estimates up to 80% since 2000 for an average 4-year school. Why do they do that? Because they don't have control over much. And when they have less money in their wallet, they need to turn elsewhere. So why not a direct infusion of aid to state governments? And that's another proposal along the lines of extending unemployment benefits, doing something about COBRA that would make real sense. But there is an opportunity now, I think, to talk about this in a broader sense. I hope that, you know, all of us can participate in that discussion.
Andrea Batista Schlesinger with us, Executive Director of the Drum Major Institute. They're on the web at drummajorinstitute.org. And let's talk about your zippy new website, an offshoot called themiddleclass.org. What's going on here, Andrea?
Well, you know, we talked about how do you engage people in that conversation to know what Congress is actually up to. Well, you've got to know what Congress is actually up to. And you can't hold people accountable in Congress if you don't actually know what they're doing or who they are. So we've created this site where we analyze, in language that's accessible by anyone, legislation that has been voted on by either one house or both, that is of significance to the current and aspiring middle class. We analyze it, we give what we think is the middle class position on the bill, and then you can see very easily how your member of Congress voted on those pieces of legislation. So you can track your member of Congress, you know, while they're actually, you know, throughout the year. We give them a score, we give them a grade, send them home with their report card at the end of the year. You can plug in your zip code, find it all out. So that's what's happening at themiddleclass.org.
Now, you blackberried into one of your colleagues. Were you able to come up with any information on good or bad members from California?
Well, we've got John Campbell, District 48, scored a 7% for 2007. Duncan Hunter, an 8%, a little better.
That's because he was so busy personally building the fence along the border.
Correct. Very helpful to middle-class families,
right,
that fence. It really tackles the issue that 45% of the undocumented immigrants here overstay their visas.
Yes, exactly.
Daniel Lundgren, 8%. George
Wait, Vanovich. Wait, don't go so fast. Oh. Dan Lundgren is one of our target Republicans. We're on the air in Sacramento, and a great fellow, Dr. Bill Durston, is the progressive who is challenging him this year. And so, in fact, we'll zero in on the detailed information about Lundgren and share that with our listeners.
And I should say it is pretty hard to get an 8%. We have Republicans, because we're a nonpartisan shop, who actually got A's, who got nearly perfect scores. And then, of course, you've got your Olivia Snows. And, you know, you've got people who are in the middle. But this is pretty difficult to do.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to be really... Dana Rohrabacher.
Oh, Rohrabacher, yeah.
7%.
Yeah.
John Doolittle at 7%.
Well, he's retiring to spend more time with his lawyers.
Well, then we'll have time to study up.
On the middle class,
on the middle class. And you want the good ones?
Yeah.
I've got some good ones. Joe Baca, 100%. Javier Becerra, 93%.
He's a good guy.
Howard Berman, 93%. Susan Davis, also 93%.
San Diego.
And I should say, I think these 93s, there are people who voted for the Peru trade deal, which we think is not in the best interest of the current and aspiring middle class. So there are people who are just perfect until the Peru vote. Susan Davis, 93%. And then we've got some hundreds, Tom Lantos, George Miller, mm-hmm. Laura Richardson, Lucille Allard, mm-hmm. Hilda Solis, Maxine yeah. Waters. Mm-hmm. Wow, you've got a good delegation.
Let me talk next about a project that I saw on your website about America's mayors and also about Mike Bloomberg. Let's start with the mayor's project. What's going on there?
Well, there's a real absence in the conversation about the presidential contest about cities. And when 80% of Americans live in metro areas of some sort, it's a little bit absurd that we have heard so little from the presidential candidates when it comes to cities.
Wait a minute. Des Moines? right. Manchester? Right. Myrtle Beach? These are the huge urban areas with problems.
These are the bustling metro. You know, not to minimize, since, you know, part of our argument is that these are actually challenges that are shared by cities of all sizes and shapes. But, you know, you need to have a healthcare plan. Fantastic. But why aren't we at the point yet where we need to have an urban plan? And it's not just about, well, here are the 10 things that I'm going to do for cities. It's also, what about the impact, the distinct impact that certain issues have on cities, immigration, healthcare, infrastructure investment. So it's a little bit silly that there's been so little discussion. A couple of them have given speeches. Obama has an urban plan, you know, but the Republican candidates zilch on cities, except to, of course, talk about sanctuary cities, which mm-hmm. is, you know, their favorite conversation.
And I haven't been invited to the sanctuary mansion.
That's right. That's right. neither have I. But I'm glad it exists because it's definitely excellent fodder for right. jokes about hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. But there's not enough conversation about cities. So we interviewed mayors from across the country, and we asked them what they thought the presidential candidates should be talking about when it comes to an urban plan. And different cities, including our two convention cities, mm-hmm. Denver and Minneapolis, we had the mayors there. You know, and it's infrastructure. You know, it's how do you send a message to the immigrant community that they're welcome, since we know that immigrants are playing such a key role in revitalizing our cities. Mm-hmm. Of course, dealing with the fallout of subprime and the foreclosure crisis. And, you know, the cities are very clear, whether it's struggling cities like Buffalo or more successful cities like Atlanta. You know, if you don't invest, you know, we're the economic engines for mm-hmm. our regions.
Now, what about Bloomberg? You're a New Yorker, and I'm dubious because I believe if he runs that he will probably be a spoiler who hurts the Democrat.
Where was the question in that?
Well, number one, it seems like he's a fairly progressive guy, and I don't have any real reason to say I could never vote for him. But the barriers to getting on the ballot in many states for an independent are huge, even with if you want to spend $500 million. And at the end of the day, I'm afraid he would take votes away from the Democratic nominee.
Well, I like our mayor. I think that he, in this kind of middle ground thing that he's doing, like hanging out with Chuck Hagel and these guys, is actually doing a disservice to his own politics, because he's got a real progressive governing ideology. You know, he's tackling poverty. He's doing something that I support, which is trying to figure out how do you reduce our carbon footprint by charging drivers to come into the central business district when they should just be taking the train. So, you know, I think he is a welcome voice mm-hmm. on a landscape of people, especially on that side of things, that don't actually believe in government. But I have some concerns about, you know, what the fallout would be as well on the politics.
Yeah, great. Well, there's more about it at your website, drummajorinstitute.org. Andrea Batista Schlesinger, always a pleasure to see you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us today. We'll continue here live from Washington, D.C. on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Coltrane with a traffic update on KRXA Radio. We have a traffic collision to report northbound 101 just south of Coyote Creek Golf Drive. One of the vehicles went up the embankment. The other one is on the right shoulder. We have a hazard to tell you about in Santa Cruz. This is Empire Grade just south of Pine Flat. We have a tree that is down that is blocking the northbound lane. And we will head over to, this is in the Santa Cruz area, traffic collision with no injuries. Thankfully, this is a solo vehicle crash. State Route 1 just south of Freedom Boulevard. And this is a vehicle that is on the shoulder there. The pain of being stuck in traffic only gets worse when you've got a sore throat. New Cepacol Dual Relief Spray numbs the pain instantly with just one shot. It's the little spray that's a big shot of relief. New Cepacol Dual Relief Spray. Bobby Coltrane, KRXA Radio.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
And we continue our origination from Washington, D.C. at the Families USA Health Action 2008 conference. Joining me now is Celinda Lake, one of the leading Democratic pollsters in the country. Celinda, great to see you again.
Hey, really nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Now, did you have to test that before you said that?
You know,
get a cross-section of a 1,400 random sample and interrupt their dinners?
It would have been better had I been paid to do that. Good idea.
Has polling changed at all because of cell phones and because of the intrusion at dinner time?
It is changing so rapidly, and it's really hard to get a hold of people. And also the cell phone issue, although less with voters, because most voters have land and cell lines. But if we're doing something with young people, 30% of young people are only accessible on their cell phones.
Right.
So our profession is really changing. The other thing that's changed it for us is they like being polled, but so many people say, well, we're a poll, and then they really say, and don't you want to buy our credit card?
Yeah.
So that hurts our response rates.
Right. What about push polling, where, in fact, the goal is not to find out what the person thinks, but to change the way they think?
Right. And, in fact, all of the pollsters, all of the reputable pollsters, our firm included, we were one of the first ones to sign on to a letter condemning push polling. We're actually very against it because it really hurts our profession, frankly.
Right.
And our goal is to find out what people are thinking, not to provide misinformation and leave them thinking something different.
Yeah. So, Linda Lake, what happened in New Hampshire?
What happened in New Hampshire is a lot of voters showed up that no one had expected, including particularly a lot of women voters, and a lot of people made up their mind late. And I think that the events around security moved some people to the more experienced candidate, a surge of women turnout, and older women voters who felt that they didn't want to say, ooh, maybe I'm voting against the first possible woman president. Maybe I should vote for her.
Mm-hmm. But that 11-point swing, doesn't that surprise you? And statistically, isn't that hard to explain?
I think it wasn't. You're right. It's not an 11-point swing. I think a lot of the polls were wrong because they had a model that had a lot more young people than actually showed up and a lot less, fewer women than actually showed up. There were a record number of young people, but nothing like what some of those polls had shown.
Yeah. Now, does it ever occur to you when you do a postmortem like that to question the way the election was conducted and if the results are right? Is it possible that the polls were accurate and that something happened in the counting of the votes? We have a recount underway and some anomalies have shown
right.
up.
Right. I think in that case, it sure it occurs to me, absolutely. And I think there are demonstrable cases of it, like 18,000 votes in Florida that don't get counted.
Yeah,
and
you're
get
talking
lost.
About Christine
Jennings.
Jennings, yeah.
Exactly.
Florida 13.
Right. Mm-hmm. So there are definitely some anomalies, and polling can point that out. In this case, though, we had entrance polls that were correct, exit polls on that day.
Mm-hmm.
And we also had, if we went back and looked at who actually turned out, it looked like the patterns, the initial poll estimates had just been incorrect.
Yeah, okay. So, Celinda, what are you seeing nationally? We certainly know that change and experience are in play. But do people get misdirected on, for example, polling results out of Iowa that showed that those were, you know, critical issues that, that voters were considering? But the attempt is made then to project that over the national population and across the timeline from now to the end of the primaries.
Right.
And things change, as we just described in New Hampshire. I mean, those were dramatic changes in a 72 to 96 hour period. So do we run a risk sometimes where the media seizes on polling data, which, of course, is a snapshot at a given point in time, and makes it seem like gospel that has a shelf life much longer than it actually does?
I think that's right. And, of course, it's good for our business to say you need to poll all the time. but I think that's right. I think it can be overgeneralized. I think also we should understand that voters vote the quality of the candidates, particularly in presidential politics, frankly. Issues make a lot less difference. And then the real world is changing dramatically. I mean, a year ago, Iraq was the number one issue. Today, the economy is the number one issue. And there has been very, very significant deterioration in the economy in people's minds. So real live events change things dramatically.
Mm-hmm. And part of me resists that. Okay, mm-hmm. I do understand that people's values and priorities change, but for me, the war is the defining mm-hmm. issue. Every problem that we have really, in some way, can be linked up to it. And it frustrates me because I believe that the media has a role in that,
yep.
where starting with the Petraeus Crocker testimony in September, they have bought into what is at least part propaganda, to be charitable, and it's spin to
right.
say that the surge is working. And I don't argue with the statistics that fewer Americans are dying in Iraq in the second half of the year, but when you look at the full year, it was the biggest set of casualties that we incurred. And so I'm wondering what your sense is of that dynamic. Does the media coverage, you know, suggesting that the surge is working and covering the meltdown in the housing market and the health care issues for a change, is that producing greater focus on domestic issues and bread and butter concerns?
I think the media has a major role to play. I would say that in domestic events, the real-life experience competes with the media. So, ironically, the voters were concerned about the housing crisis way before the elites were. They were very nervous about it, worried about rising costs. On the foreign affairs, the media has enormous influence and, I think, enormous responsibility because of that. And it's why I like voices like yours and your listeners, frankly, because no one called the truth on the war early on. And, yes, fine, the surge, but what happens when those troops are removed? And what's the cost of keeping them there? And what's happening is recruitment for Al-Qaeda when we say we're going to be there for 100 years.
Yeah.
We just... you know, plastered up their recruitment poster.
You want to run for office?
No, but I want to elect some different people in office.
You could get my vote with that kind of a stump speech. So Linda Lake is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. One of my other questions is why the Democratic race has closed so quickly into a two-person race. Mm-hmm. I believe John Edwards has a lot to offer.
Mm-hmm.
He's got, you know, name recognition from his run in 2004. He's been running since 2004. And I'm frankly surprised that he is not only polling so poorly, but doing poorly in the early primaries and caucuses.
I have to say I agree with you, too. And I think, you know, in part, I think the Democrats had almost an abundance of riches. And frankly, they liked a lot of the candidates. I mean, even in the states where John Edwards would get 10, 15, 16%,
there'll be 70-80% of the voters who like him.
Mm-hmm.
And that he'd be a good president. And I think the Democrats in some ways are kind of impatient. We want to get after the Republicans. And so mm-hmm. they just want to pick someone and get going. And it's crowded out a lot of really eloquent voices. Dodd and Biden, who great leaders, mm-hmm. couldn't find any oxygen even in Iowa. So I think it's been a very strange place where we've had almost too many good candidates. And Democrats would have been happy with almost any of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Linda Lake, does impeachment show up in your polling still?
No, for a couple of reasons. I mean, there are hardcore Democrats who talk about impeachment, but a couple of reasons. First of all, you don't want to impeach Bush unless you're going to impeach Cheney, too.
Right. Well, that's the
that's terrifying.
333
right.
is impeachment for
exactly.
Cheney.
Exactly. And then the other thing is people feel like it'll bog us down, and even people who want it to happen feel it'll bog us down for a whole year. These guys are almost gone, and God knows they can do a lot of damage in between, but we need to get on to win the next 4 years.
But where did those numbers peak? Because I believe mm-hmm. the Democrats ran out the clock in 2007, and now it's fair to say it's too late to do
right.
anything meaningful. My issue is not that I ever expected ultimately removal from office,
yep.
but I really want to lay out a record that we as Americans do not approve of the intentional lawbreaking and the intentional violation of the constitutional oaths
right.
by the top two officers. And I'm really disappointed that we're not achieving that, and I think it will serve to the detriment of the party long term because we're not taking a clear position on that.
Yeah.
Impeachment was a vehicle for that, not
yeah.
necessarily the end result that I expected.
You know, I think you raise a really good point, and perhaps what we should have done is tried to seek another vehicle because voters felt that if we went for impeachment, we would so divide everything that we would not be able to get anything done. And voters really wanted to get some things done to solve problems. On the other hand, you make a very good point that we should have found some way to lay out this, you know, this set in a very clear, unified way. These are the six laws they have broken. These are the six illegal acts they took. Now, we're going to get on with business, but let's never forget this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we didn't find a good vehicle for it, and that's a legitimate critique.
Yeah. So, Linda Lake, great to see you.
We're talking again with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, I just gave you a nice little chocolate raspberry treat. Can I drink wine and eat chocolate at the same time? Is there a rule against that? Is there a law in France that says I can't?
No, to the contrary. My girlfriends and I sometimes get together and have a treat of chocolate with one absolutely scrumptious wine that we have, which is called Cartagène, which is, again, something that people make in the south of France pretty much for the family. It's a treat, and they pull it out when you go visit them. You know how farmers are and people are close to the land, and they pull out the thing that they've made and they've kept in their cellar, and the foie gras and the special sausage and all this, and they sit around and they share this little treat with them. It's like communion.
Find out more about organic wines at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. Order by phone toll free at 888-ECO-WINE. Mention Peter B. Collins and see what happens.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A low-pressure system in the Pacific continues to hurl everything it's got at California. CBS News correspondent Ben Tracy reports.
Late this afternoon, a dramatic rescue in the mountains outside of Los Angeles. The extreme weather triggered two avalanches, trapping skiers in the area.
Whoa.
Earlier, hail fell in the L.A. suburbs and city streets turned into lakes. This week has been one wild weather ride in Southern California.
We've had rain, thunderstorms, hail, strong winds, mudslides, waterspouts, tornadoes. People say there's no weather in California. That's certainly not the case right now.
Nearly 3.5 inches of rain have fallen in downtown Los Angeles since Monday. That's more than fell all of last year.
There's late word from the hospital that the rescued skier has died. A commuter train traveling from Ventura to Los Angeles counties was halted by a rock slide in the Santa Susana Pass. No one hurt. One passenger, a Libra, quoted today's horoscope from the newspaper. Move in a new direction and be willing to change your course if you hit an obstacle. In addition to the Las Vegas skyline today, smoke and flame from the roof of the 32-story Monte Carlo Hotel Casino.
It was small flames just coming out the top, a lot of black smoke, so I don't know what it was, but it spread rapidly from there.
The cause hasn't been determined, but officials say welders were working in the area. Some people were evacuated, injured during the evacuation. Five had to be hospitalized. The flames were extinguished. South Carolina and Florida are the battleground states this weekend. Tomorrow, the Democrats have their primary in South Carolina.
The difference between a politician and a statesperson is that the politician thinks about the next election. The statesperson thinks about the next generation. And I want my campaign and my presidency to be about the next generation.
As Hillary Clinton campaigned in the state capital, Columbia, she was maneuvering to pick up convention delegates elsewhere. CBS News correspondent Peter King has that.
In a written statement, Hillary Clinton has said that she will ask that delegates from both Florida and Michigan be seated at the national convention if she is the presumed nominee. Now, both Florida and Michigan were penalized for moving their primaries up, breaking the national party rules, and there have been a lot of voters in both states who feel that their votes won't count.
In advance of Tuesday's primary in Florida, another blow to Rudy Giuliani. He's counting heavily on Cuban-American support, but today